Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Finally, welcome to Kinda Funny's Knives Out in Review. Many weeks in the making. We were originally supposed to review this movie the first week back in 2023. Then there was storms in San Francisco, so we get pushed back. Mm-hmm. It's okay. We'll do bomb it the cyclone. Second week. Then bomb cyclone. Greg Miller, jury duty.
Pineapple Express.
Everything falling apart. So we're like, what are we going to do? How could we possibly do this? You know what? We're going to handle it the only way I know how. Let's take both Knives Out movies and do them together in one mega epic Kinda Funny in Review. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes.
Spit your face, God. You can't stop this show.
You can't, okay?
Of course, you will.
I'm Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the Nitro Rifle himself, Andy Cortez.
Very excited for this one.
I'm excited for your little, what do you call it? It's a keyboard piano? What is it to you?
Your music instrument. Box.
It's a soundscape.
Soundscape. Andy's soundscape is going to be rocking today, I have a feeling. How's that make you feel, Joey Noel?
I think it's going to be good. There's a lot of fine-tuning maybe that's going to be happening on the show.
Earlier I leaned over to Joe and I was like, I don't have a dog bark on here, but I'm going to figure it out.
Awful.
Yeah. And also, Joey, literally, we were playing with fire so much that Joey just landed from L.A. She was at the Persona party.
Sorry.
You just
but we're making it happen.
Yeah.
You can't stop us, God!
You can't stop us. Of course, the voice you hear right there is my slutty daddy, Greg Miller.
Oh, hey, how are you?
Yeah. Do you like that?
No, that's Pedro. Let Pedro be the slutty daddy, all right? That's
daddy.
What he wants.
I'm just the big daddy. Well, you're my big daddy, Greg. And rounding out the group today, we have the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpa.
So if he's your slutty daddy, what does that make me?
Slutty baby.
No! Oh, I asked for this. That was all your fault.
You opened the door.
I do want to give a major shout out once again to Carter Harrell and Cameron Kennedy. Cameron, for just once again going way too far with that intro. That was a utter masterpiece.
That was really cool.
And like, I literally told him, I was like, it's only two movies. I don't even know for how we're going to end up getting these recorded. He sent over just the logo treatment. And I was like, this is enough. Just have it just animate in. He's like, I got you. And he sends me that video. And I'm just like,
it's so
dope. Oh, too talented.
God,
very
too
well
talented.
Too talented.
Too damn good. But of course, this is Kinda Funny's In Review, where each and every week we get together to rank, review, and recap different movie franchises. The whole point of the show is leading into the new releases in theaters, like getting refamiliarized with some of the movies we've either seen before, maybe sometimes we haven't seen before. This year is about to be wild. There's going to be almost every week a new movie coming out starting in like March for franchises that we have previously covered here at Kinda Funny. And that starts very, very soon. Starting next week, we're going to be doing our Ant-Man rewatches. So next week, Ant-Man 1. Week after that, Ant-Man 2. And the week after that, Ant-Man 3 is here. Phase 5 is starting. So yeah, it's pretty wild that it's happening this fast. But yeah, today...
Then we get to the good stuff after that.
Well, that's pretty good there.
Yeah, but then we get to Magic Mike's last dance.
Yeah, technically Magic Mike is February 10th, so that'll be in there as well. A lot of great stuff happening. His last dance is soon to come. If you want to watch along with us, YouTube.com.
Hold on, Andy's getting a call.
Fucking face. YouTube.com/kindoffunny is where you want to be. You can also get it as
no,
a podcast
it's not me.
by searching your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny in Review, and we will be right there for you. If you want to get the show ad-free and watch it live as we record it, you're going to want to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers, Jay Kolbs, Nathan Lamothe, Monica Boomenlog, DJ Kento on Twitch, Trent Berry, James Hastings, Colin Huguenel, and Casey Andrew have all done. Thank you so much. Today, we're actually brought to you by Patreon and all the cool bonus content you can get over there, including Gregway. What's Gregway, Greg?
Gregway is my daily vlog series where every day you get 5 minutes with me, at least, usually more because I can't shut up, where I just talk about whatever's happening, answer some questions, and hang out.
Mm-hmm. You got the shit list, you got Kinda Feudy, you get the Next Gen podcast that was an absolute banger this month. Anyway, all that stuff, patreon.com/kindoffunny. You can go there and get it. But enough about all of that. I have waited long enough to talk about Knives Out. So here's how we're going to handle this, everybody. We're going to go through the rigmarole of both movies at the beginning. Then we're going to just give our thoughts on the first movie. Greg will do the plot of the first movie.
Sure.
Then give our thoughts on the second movie. Greg will give the plot of the second movie, and then we'll rank at the end. Sound fun?
Yes.
Fantastic. Let's get into it. Movie number one was called Knives Out. And movie number two, Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery. Originally, he didn't want to call the second one Knives Out at all. He was like, no, no, I just
They're like, no, we'd like to sell this.
Those stuff. Mystery books, you know, where it's just like, it's
the same. Agatha Christie books. Exactly. Or, yeah, any of those things where it's just the name of the thing, but you know it's an Agatha Christie novel, mm-hmm. right?
And Netflix is like, no.
No, we got IP here.
We got IP, baby.
So you got Benoit Blanc back. Come on.
Come on.
How crazy is it that
the third one coming too?
The first one's not on Netflix.
Disgusting.
It's weird. Like, oh, that's fucking weird.
Kind of a big mess.
Wait, turns out it's one of those ones I bought because I wanted to watch it while I was still in theaters or whatever, so I'm fine. But you know.
I had to rent it twice.
That's funny.
Oh, man. The first one was released on November 27th, 2019. In a pre-pandemic world. And the second one came out in theaters on November 23rd, 2022 for just 1 week in a very post-pandemic world, then coming to Netflix on December 23rd, which is just wild overall. What a strategy from Netflix. It was the most widely released Netflix movie yet in theaters. And it was doing really well, made $15 million its first week, which is really good numbers for something like this. And they're like, nope, come to Netflix. You're like, all right.
Yeah.
I guess you just want to leave money on the table. But okay, okay. They both have runtimes of around 2 hours and 10 minutes. This one, both of them, directed by Rian Johnson. Nick, how do we know Rian Johnson?
Oh, we know Rian Johnson most famously or infamously from The Last Jedi. But I also know him from Looper and from a couple other movies. Looper.
Breaking really Bad.
What's that?
Breaking Bad.
He directed Breaking Bad.
He was Dean Norris. Two episodes of Breaking Bad.
I did not know that.
It was also written by Rian Johnson. Both of them were. The first movie was actually nominated at the 92nd Academy Awards for Best Original Screenplay. Music for both movies was done by Nathan Johnson. We're talking about some Nepo babies here.
Damn.
This is Ryan's cousin. His first musical score was for the award-winning film Brick.
Is that term?
Rian Johnson is his cousin. His cousin Mark Johnson did the title credits, and based on the font of Agatha Christie's
family affair.
Paperback, it's a family affair. You know
what about his uncle Big Johnson? Is he still making those T-shirts?
Exactly. There we go.
Dwayne the Rock.
Now, would you guys believe that Zach Johnson is another cousin, and he painted all the cast paintings in the end credits?
Oh.
So yeah, really is a family affair.
You'll he's saving some bucks too.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You don't need to go to Alex Ross every time.
Yeah,
this guy doing.
Yeah, I can give you $15 a painting. Like, wow, come on, Rian Johnson.
Both movies had a budget of $40 million. The first movie made $311.9 million in theaters, and the second one made, like I said earlier, $15 million, but that's you got to keep in context. That's actually really, really, really good for a Netflix release movie in limited theaters mm-hmm. for only a week. So there we go. Nick, I want to start with you. What did you think of the original Knives Out?
I really like this movie. I'm a sucker for a mystery, and this one has everything that I would want in a mystery, right? We've got interesting characters that are not what they seem right off the bat. We've got a compelling detective, and it doesn't necessarily center on him. And there's a cool twist at the end that you don't really see coming, which are all things that I look for and I enjoy. You pack all that in to kind of a haunted mansion feel, the Hounds of Baskerville or whatever, whatever those Arthur Conan Doyle like Sherlock Holmes movies or books were, you get something that I'm a sucker for. I enjoy them. I think on a personal note, it's awesome watching Daniel Craig not have to be James Bond,
sure.
Not have to jump through windows and, you know, karate chop people or fire his balls.
Be hilarious. You know what I mean?
He's so funny. He's hamming it up. He gets to play a different character.
Driving a car that he always drives, you know what I mean? That we expect him to.
Exactly.
Appreciate a lot.
So, you know, it's a... I don't get the joke.
James Bond in review.
James Bond's car.
Oh, you mean the car that shouldn't have been in Skyfall, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
And we can get into that right now if you want to get into that. No, I really liked the first one, and it was actually, I didn't remember a lot of it, and I was like, I think this is a lot simpler than I thought, and by about 3/4 of the way through, I was like, right, there's a twist, I forgot, and that's great, and that's what you want, and we're along for the ride with Benoit Blanc and Anna de Armas' character, and twists and turns and stuff, super fun. I like the movie a lot.
Gregory.
I adore this movie. Knives Out caught me by surprise in terms of, I remember when it came out and it was making waves and getting to finally see it. I thought anytime you get a cast that's good together, you're hopefully going to get something great. But the script itself was so amazing, and I think it's impeccably done. It's one of, I would say, my favorite movies of recent times, if I was to sit down and give you a top 10 or something like that. I think the performances are great all around. I think I don't get bored watching it ever. I think it's, you know, it's one of those movies that I think gets better the more you watch it. I can't even tell you how many times I've watched this because it is one of those comfort movies, which is more something I think of from the late 80s, early 90s,
like
something
Clue.
I would watch. Yeah, or Big or whatever. But like, this is one of those ones that I'll toss on while I do something else occasionally and have it just running. I love the twists. I love the turns. You know, your point, like I remember watching it that first time, and when we get to Marta revealing what actually happened to us, the audience, and in our own head, mm-hmm. but then not to them, and then the back and forth, and then the added element of Rance, it was like, wow, like, this was keeping me on my toes, even though I thought they showed their hand earlier. They really didn't, right? Like, it's one of those where when you think you know what the movie is, it changes a bit. And I really love that.
Joey.
I like this movie. I don't love this movie. I feel like even back when I first saw it, when it first came out, I was like a little bit lower on it than a lot of people were. But like, honestly, and then this isn't future spoilers, but I'm just down to get one of these movies every few years with like a cast of really fun people interacting, and especially like people that we don't see all the time and people coming back, like Don Johnson, random, and Toni Collette and Jamie Lee Curtis together. Like, JLC. It's just a fun group of people.
Powerhouse.
And I would just be down to watch all of these people do this all the time. I love mystery, so I think that was fun. Ana de Armas, so good.
So good.
So good in this.
I think this is the first thing I ever saw her in, or that I remembered her for a thing. This is what launched her for me. I don't care. Was she already a Bond?
Blade Runner was. No, she had done Blade Runner, I think, prior to this and a few other
things. I'm not a loser. I didn't see that movie.
Chris Evans.
Come on.
And that was the thing. We were coming so hot off of Avengers and knowing him so well. So to get it, when he's eat shit. like, it was like such a great moment.
Yeah.
And also, just point of clarification, Greg and I saw Blade Runner together.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
We saw it together.
No, we didn't.
I saw it with your wife.
I believe that. I've never seen a Blade Runner, so why would I go
you
see it?
You saw it with us.
No.
I'm Googling it.
Go ahead.
How do you Google
that? I'll bet the house.
I'm so surprised. I'm struggling to imagine Jen there and not you, but maybe.
Maybe that's what happened.
I think she likes Blade Runner and I don't. And I was like, I'm good.
She didn't like it.
You know what I mean? The original IP enough to go see.
It's fun to see all of these characters and all of these actors playing roles that we don't necessarily expect. And I'm down for all of these. Give me more.
Andy.
I had a blast with it, dude. I love when it gets to that part, middle of the movie, and it feels like you're at the end of it, and you say, well, oh, shit, we still got like a half a movie to go. What else could they possibly show us? And they just keep on revealing cooler and cooler things. Great cast, a lot of fun, good humor in it. Every character is always just sort of like a depiction of modern America, and I really enjoy that. It's just a great... 1-2 punch, I would say, because this is my first time watching it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I really, really love these movies. I feel like it's there's something about when a director and writer are the same person, and there's just like a vision, especially for something that is like as small as this. But when you have the connections, it's kind of that perfect storm of like Rian Johnson had the ability to get this cast of people together and to commit as hard as they did to these super fun characters while wanting to make a murder mystery, knowing the scope that they have of, cool, it's going to be in this mansion. Like, that is the point. And if we go out of the mansion, there has to be real specific reasons, and it better be worth it. And every single thing is built on our expectation of watching this as a murder mystery, knowing that we're playing along, knowing that we're trying to, like, outsmart the movie, because that's the point of murder movies, right? Like, you're supposed to play, you're supposed to get the breadcrumbs, but always be questioning, like, are they leading me the wrong direction? Is this red herring? Whatever. I feel like this movie is just so impeccably made and impeccably written that it almost takes away from it being perfect, where it's like, I think that it's almost too good for its own good, where it's like, I would rather a little bit more imperfections to be like, yo, this is a 10 out of 10. I said this is an 8 out of 10, and like this is the most 8 out of 10 a movie can possibly be. Wow. Because watching it, I'm constantly like, they're following their own rules. They don't play the bullshit card of like, oh, there was actually this whole other thing that you could have never seen coming. Like you were saying, the more you watch the movie, the more you appreciate it. That's so true. Every single thing here is for a reason. Like every weird thing the first time you watch it of Daniel Craig hitting the piano keys, and you're like, what is he doing? It all adds up. And watching it more times, you're like, oh, okay, I see what they're doing here. So it's like, I appreciate the hell out of the movie, even though I feel like moment to moment, it can kind of just feel like, wow, this character is such a caricature, and they're written in such a caricature way that it can be a little off-putting. But it's not about that moment. It's about the overall of those characters interacting together that, to me, just makes a fun-ass time.
Yeah, I mean, on that point, this movie does something that I really appreciate, and that's something that I think is the highest mark for a murder mystery, is that you get to the end of it, and when it's revealed, when he does the obligatory I'm going to tell you how this all broke down. You get that shock of like, damn, he knew the whole time. He was on it from the second she walked in and saw that thing on her shoe and stuff. Like, wow, it blows your mind, right? And that's how it should be. We'll get to the glass onion after the pot of this one.
Damn.
That's a future tease.
Nick leaving some breadcrumbs here for us. He's
taking us on his own little murder mystery.
I like the glass onion the entire time.
So with that, I think it's time to get to the plot, Andy. Do you have any musical soundscape prepared for us?
Plot.
Perfect. So is Greg Miller doing the plot?
Jesus, what the hell is going on here? Audioless, as Greg just removed his sweatshirt. He's got glasses
very
on.
Suited up right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he's got a collared shirt and a tie. Now he's walking
he's
around.
He's got a wireless mic on him?
Oh,
I didn't. This is
he does have a wireless mic.
He has a wireless mic.
What are you doing over there?
I thought we were going to be contained over there. Yeah, here we go.
Is he just going
to... Is it too early to reveal, Tim, what Greg's been telling you?
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Gregoire Blanc. And today I'll be your narrator of quite the motion picture journey, Mr. Cortez. So let us begin with Knives Out.
Oh, you got a notebook.
An actual notebook. A
Is
very small one.
No. Don't insult the size of my notebook, please, Mr. Geddes.
Okay. Possibly small for a man of your stature.
Mr. Scarpino, I'll ask you to keep it to a dull roar.
Yes, Your Honor.
My meemaw is in the back sleeping. Knives Out begins with two dogs.
Two dogs are barking.
Oh, my word, Mr. Cortez. You had me hyped. You had me hyped saying I'll have the soundboard have the dog noises.
It's mostly the dogs that I like.
Our housekeeper Fran finds the murdered body of Harlan Thrombey. Throat slit. Clearly a suicide, some would say, but not all would say that, Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
1 week later, guess what? Everybody comes on back to the house. Come on back to the crib. We're going to have some gumbo, all right? This accent's terrible.
I was like taking Beth Dandy. Like, how long are you going to keep this up for?
He's a Southern Dandy.
Yeah, but why are they coming over for gumbo if he's
Because I'm Southern and I'm telling it that way.
Whenever you lose it, just think of what Andy tells everybody in the office when he's like, you got to talk like there's some shit coming out of your mouth.
Well, even see Daniel Craig always talking on the side of his mouth when he's doing this voice for Benoit Blanc.
Greg, if you do need birds chirping,
give me.
Got those. Just to set the scene.
So, okay, you know, give me out. What else do we have?
Because this is an audio.
What else do we have?
I mean,
let's go this way. Let's instead of me just throwing to you and you going, beep, beep,
brother,
some kind of fucking paperboy dog, you tell me what the goddamn sounds are.
Brother, I'll let you know, all right? This is an audio murder mystery adventure, okay? I want people in their cars figuring out this murder mystery with their families.
This is so bad. And 1 week later, they all come back together, all right, to be interviewed by two detectives and one, Benoit Blanc.
And this is when we get into a little segment I call Motive Menagerie. Andy, hit the song.
It's time for Motive Menagerie. Nothing rhymes with menagerie. Please come play with me. I was doing the Blackbird Beatles, but yeah, like, if I had my guitar, I'd be able to do it. Because they were playing Blackbird
dog.
In the...
Dog.
Not a whole lot of music in these movies. What's going on? Like, you know what I mean? There's no like big...
It's all little flourishes.
There's no big
Give me another
theme.
Flourish.
Good job, Andy. Thank you. Crowd's roaring.
Great. You're doing great, Greg.
Now, it's Andy that's really the wet blanket on
the
entire operation.
He's the worst.
And it's Greg Wahlberg.
Anyways, no, this is where we bring everybody together, right? And we start interviewing them with the detectives and Benoit in the back and the keyboard and stuff like that. And, of course, we get the rundown of, like, you know, who everybody is, their relationships to one another. We find out that, of course, the one and only JLC, Jamie Lee Curtis, married to Don Johnson from...
Miami Vice.
That's right, Miami Vice. Right. They have a shitty son named Ransom who's not even there. We get going. Of course, you have Joni there. Toni Collette, of course, fantastic from Heredity.
Also, we didn't. Lakeith Stanfield is one of the detectives. Just like,
also, great
just
job. Chilling.
Side yeah, yeah, yeah. role, so good.
Very underutilized in this one.
You know, you gotta be. It's an ensemble. Exactly. It's an ensemble, Mr. It's Scarpino.
Ensemble, as we call it in the trade.
Ensemble, as we call it in the trade. Of course, Tony's got the kid going to college. She's double dipping on that. Of course, Jamie Lee Curtis is very touchy about the fact that she's made from the ground up. You are ready for something, Mr. Cortez. What is it?
Just at any moment, I could just pop in here with the guy getting punched.
Let me try it.
Right. That was good. Jamie Lee Curtis built her business from the ground up, right? Of course, she actually had the $1 million loan or whatever, but she doesn't think that way. Don Johnson, of course, is cheating on Jamie Lee Curtis, and Arthur Thrombey knows that. Mr. Thrombey knows that. Then you have the one, the only, Michael Shannon, yeah. General Zod so from Man so of Steel, good. And the dad from that one weird movie that I forgot where his kid was like an alien or some shit. I forget. There was something going on with it. Anyways, though, he's also in, of course, Groundhog Day. He goes to WrestleMania. Remember this?
Oh my God, that's him, yeah.
He's there. He's the publishing guy, and he totally sucks and hasn't ever made anything original in his entire fucking life.
He's just mooching off his dad.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he's there running the publishing company, and then he gets cut out. We find out of the night because, you know, this is all happening at once. But we just sit here for a while, and we keep coming back, and then eventually we get the things of what's happened at the party. The fun thing about the party is you keep getting from the different perspectives. So it's, you know, each one of the couples blowing out the candles with that or whatever and being all happy, but then you talk to other. There's the great line with Jamie Lee Curtis, right, where when Benoit Blanc is revealed and everybody pops for him or whatever. She's like, I know who you are. I read the profile in the New Yorker. And she's like, you know, he asked a question. He's like, I'm not going to bag on my, you're not going to bait me into tricking or talking shit about my family. And then it's right to Don Johnson, who's an idiot, who just tells him everything. And everybody else does too, right?
So
and so that's how you run through it. Yeah, like I said, that's going on. Don's lying. Joni's double dipping. Meg doesn't know it, though, but that's part of her college thing. Ransom is a dick, and he's already run off, but we don't know that yet and all that stuff. Then as we go through this whole thing, we got to walk around with the detectives. The one and only Marta shows up, right? Or she's been there the whole time, I should say. She doesn't show up. But she comes out. She gets interviewed finally. She'll puke if she lies, which is a super weird thing they toss in.
It's just great.
It's a great little device to play with.
It's the only device I don't like in this movie.
Is it real? Is that a thing? Okay.
It's so far-fetched that it almost cheapens everything. And, like, the fact that it's, like, it kind of destroys it for me a little bit because, like, it's like a mechanic in a game that's OP. Why would he just sit there and have, like, what really happened?
Yeah.
Keep her in the room. He sees the spot of blood, but, like, what really happened? It just kind of breaks.
I love it, but it's an example of what I'm talking about if the movie's too perfect. Like, yeah. It has an answer for everything, and sometimes the answer is just, like, yeah, hey, she throws up when she lies. And so it's like, we're just supposed to believe that, and we do. And it is great reveals and has great moments, but it is kind of like, well, that only happened because, like, you set that up to happen. So it's this very perfect cause and effect that sometimes leads to some weird decisions that you're either in for or you're not.
Right.
Mr. Scarpino, as an investigator myself, I can't wait to see what Mr. Doggetti thinks of the glass onion.
We'll get to that later. Don't worry about that. We'll get to that later.
Spoilers.
Oh, I was gonna give you a chance.
Okay.
I think it was Screams. Why did I want that? I wanted to scream. Hold on. No, not you. Anyways, this doesn't seem like a suicide. It seems like a murder. I was thinking this is where the scream would go, probably.
Oh, you want the scream here? Oh shit! Yeah, I mean, well, you can't get me all hyped up for the other shit.
What's the other shit?
He literally just said he was trying to figure out the scream.
Yeah. All right, you're right. We get a rundown of what actually occurred last night based on all what they have, right? Linda has woken up 3 times because she's a light sleeper, and up the stairs you'd hear stomping going on. Joni, of course, went up there to check when she heard a loud thump. Marta left at midnight, done by Zod when he saw them walk outside. Dad came down for a snack, and Zod sent him back upstairs.
A loud thump.
Meg came home last, but she heard dogs in the middle of the night, right? And so then that's what we know so far. Then we get Marta on the stand here, right? She's going to be interviewed. And this is where we get to go in Marta's head and see how everything actually happened, right? And so she went up there afterwards. Oh, well, first off, she also knows they asked her earlier about to confirm all the motives. A motive menagerie.
Um,
looking for the motive menagerie.
You got one more movie coming up to get a motive menagerie. And they start talking to Marta about it, right? And this is when she's like, yeah, okay, cool. She runs us through what actually happened in her head, where she went up there and accidentally didn't know what the vials were, and gave him, fucking 1 million milligrams of morphine or whatever, right? And so, like, he's going to shut down, and she doesn't have the NorCal thing to stop at NorCan. And so then Thrombey's like, this would be a good book, and he's writing his shit down, and it's great. And I would just say, just for the record, like, Nick, if I'm ever like, man, in 8 minutes, I'm going to die. Like,
call the ambulance.
No, I wouldn't do that. I would just, well, yeah, probably call the ambulance. But I'd also be like, you know what? I'm gonna stick it out for a little bit. Let's make sure. I don't feel bad yet. Maybe, you know, what's going to happen today? Let's get to the 7-minute mark before I slit my own throat. You know what I mean?
I forget. What was his plan for the morphine, though? For like the toxicology report, did he have one?
I think he thought
because he slit his throat,
it would just be a suicide. Yeah, nobody's gonna do it. No, there probably wouldn't be that big of a toxicology.
Again, another small. And this is a nitpick. Little nitpick.
I got you.
I'm getting right here, but they always do a toxicology report on a dead body. He should know that the guy's a murder mystery writer, right? This is one of those things where I was like, that's the only flaw in this whole structure is that I'm like, you would have. I wish they had accounted for that. He's like, I don't know how you do that. Like, he's like, I got a guy in the fucking thing that's gonna do this, but like. Obviously, it comes back to bite her in the ass for good reason, because they always do a toxicology report.
One doesn't bite her in the ass, actually. It bites Ransom in the ass.
But I digress.
The face he makes.
It's the only way to get it. You know what I mean?
My declare, Mr. Cortez. I'm as southern as apple pie and racism.
So anyways, she goes through and runs through the whole thing, and the vials got switched, as we know, right? And so then, you know, Arthur Thrombey immediately is on the pitch, like, listen, don't throw away your life. If you get... any trouble for this, then they would know, and they would export your mom. Not export, deport your mom. Export. Like, she's
America's
a Chiquita banana. You know what I mean? They would deport your mom. You can't go down for this. You can't. You're a good person, and I love you, and it's cool, whatever. So, you know what? I'll slit my throat. But before I do that, you go downstairs. You leave and make a big production of it. Say it. Slam the door. Yada, yada, yada. Get in your car. Drive off. Turn off before the sign. She gets confused. Turns out after the sign. Then you double back. Come up through the secret entrance. You come up here. Then put on my clothes, then you walk downstairs. Zod will be like, yo, go back up anytime to fight Superman. And you will go back up, and they'll say that, and you'll be gone. And it'll be
I would have fucked up this plan so early on.
Yeah. Well, it's like
a lot of instructions.
It's an interesting. I don't pretend to know the Thrombers all that well, but it's just like an interesting thing of like, he thought Zod would, Michael Shannon would treat him like you would treat like. His great grandma or whatever, right? Like, it's like
that's a lot.
Your dad
to
fucking
for.
Owns your ass. You know what I mean? He's clearly the big swinging dick of the house. Like, he comes down and you're like, go back to bed, dad. Like,
yeah, that's
fuck you. Get off my fucking porch.
That's a lot to account for. Yeah, as if he would have been like, dad, come here. I got something to show you.
And like, not to mention, like, yeah. He's mad about it. Maybe this is a chance to talk to him or whatever. Yeah. But, you know, whatever. They had 8 minutes to pull together this plan, right, Joe?
How many times has this scenario happened where they can like telegraph how it's going to go?
Yeah, exactly. Whatever.
I doesn't imagine that they do like Sunday dinners every night.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter. That happens. Then he slits his fucking throat, right? And he's like, blah, peace be with you. Cuts his fucking throat or whatever. That's some true stuff.
Hold on, real quick. Okay.
That was her turning off the road to at the wrong time. That's great. Man, I can see this working for Glass Onion later, so I'm going to go.
Okay.
You know, almost pancaked me.
Good, good, good.
And so anyways, then it's the next day, and it's like, Benoit had been like, you got to come back and be like, you know, everybody, how all the pieces on the board, come on and hang out with me some more and do this shit with me. And I'm like, no, but it's also working on the inside, which is nice. So they get there and they go to investigate the security tapes, and it's an old man who I see in a lot of stuff, but not anymore, but you used to see him in a lot of stuff. He's a character actor.
Why is your tie like that, Greg? Can I ask?
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to be insulting, but it's almost like he didn't watch the fucking movie.
What an idiot.
When you get home tonight and you sit in your pile of shit like you do, all right? Yeah. I want you to go watch the last scenes with Benoit Blanc as he puts it all together. If I had suspenders, I'd be a goddamn mirror image of Daniel Craig right now.
They're perfect. They're brothers.
Fucking go in there and fart while you're stuck.
Fart in your
pile of shit.
Fart in your shit.
Go fart in your shit.
Absolute monster.
And so,
what happened earlier today to get everybody to this point?
I'm Greg Wablong, Joe. You're Miss Noel.
The tape gets ejected. She erases the tape with a magnet. She took off the fridge, which was cool. She's basically here now to be what the Antlers called the Bumble Squad, Remember, you remember these stories, Tim, right?
Oh, yeah.
When the Mizzou athletic department took away the Antlers guaranteed seating at games and they moved everyone to general admission except the Zoo crew, the Antlers would form two groups, the Fit Kids and the Bumble Squad. And what it was is the Fit Kids would get.
Come on,
I'd be bumbling left and right. And so you put the Fit Kids in one line so they could run to the seats we wanted. And then you put the Bumble Squad in the other line and you get up there and you drop your student ID and you couldn't get the ticket out fast enough. And that way you block the whole line, let the Antlers get a seat. So she's out there erasing tapes. She's seeing muddy shoe prints. She's stomping all over them. She sees the terrace piece. She's throwing it away. The dogs keep bringing it back or whatever. And all shit's breaking loose, right? But guess who shows up? The one and only Captain America. This white boy can drive a car fast. He shows up, and his name's Ransom. It's a weird name for people to call you, have a name. You know, the real name's Hugh. But nobody calls him that except the help. Fucking good. It's not too perfect. It's just perfect. It's just well done. You know what I mean?
In the commentary, Ryan Johnson described Chris Evans' entrance when the barking dogs surround him at the Will reading as some of the best acting he's ever seen because dogs love Chris Evans and Chris Evans loves dogs.
We've seen the puppy video, right?
I have seen the puppy video.
You never seen the Chris Evans plays with puppies?
The one where he shows his dick?
I don't think that's the same video, but I didn't make it to the end, so I don't
know. Ransom shows up, he comes in, eats some biscotti cookies. That's how you know they're rich. He tells the cops to fuck off. Then he gets there and everybody's mean to him. And he tells everybody to eat shit. It's just a fucking great. Chris Evans, come on, man. You know what I mean?
That bit there, he was originally supposed to tell everybody fuck you, but Ryan Johnson decided to remove the F-bombs in the script to secure a PG-13 rating and keep it more like mystery films that he's used to watching. And Chris Evans was the one who suggested saying eat shit. And I'm so happy he did. Yeah. Seeing Captain fucking America tell everyone to eat shit was just perfect.
He has the perfect like grin on his face while he's doing
so much fun. Ugh. It reminds me of old Chris Evans, not another teen movie Chris Evans. Fantastic Four Chris Evans.
Yeah. We didn't like exactly him back then. The one. You know what I mean? We didn't like him back then. Now we do. No, you didn't. This is where it turns out that Zod's got a Nazi son and he was in there jerking it. And
this fucking kid.
Yeah, right?
Incredible.
Looks. You know, it's a shame he was never cast as Harry Osborn because he's looking like a great young Harry Osborn. You know what I mean?
Change things, kid.
You know what?
Is he changing
things? No, he's it.
It kid.
That's right. And it was also in that scary movie rewatch that was really good. That was like in the cabin in the snow.
Oh,
with the mom. That might not be the right mom.
With Lisa. Yes. With a... Lisa Cabin Marie Presley's daughter. What's
no.
her name?
Riley Keough. Was he?
I'm going to do some research.
Wow. Okay, I don't remember him in that at all. I remember that movie. But it wasn't that she wasn't the right mom. It was that they were trying to convince her.
They were fucking with her.
The children playing?
Anyways, if there's a few different things. It's not high on the list, Andy. But if we did invent a time machine, we should have gone back in time here, knock him on the head, put him in a little cryogenic tube, defrost him for these Tom Holland movies because he'd be a great Harry Osborn.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Nah, he's probably too old. It'd be weird, you know?
You think? I don't think
so. I don't know how old this kid is.
I mean, Tom Holland's going to be playing a 20-year-old for the rest of his life.
The Lodge.
The Lodge.
But was that the one with Riley? Okay. Huh. He was a little shit in that too, you know? Yeah. What I mean? Anyways, he heard Grandpa arguing with Ransom and before Ransom stormed out with everybody new. But we don't really know what they were, and Ransom won't give too many details. Doesn't matter. It's time for the will reading. I guess what? Everything's going to Marta. Everybody flips their shit. They can't fucking believe it. She comes out. It's all disoriented. The camera's on in hands, I think. You know, it's like all loosey-goosey to really throw you off. Ransom drives up. He's like, get in. She's like, all right, any port in a storm. And she gets in, and then he takes her to the number one chili restaurant. And he's like, here's some fucking beans and just diarrhea. This is the kind of shit Andy sits in when he goes home.
God, he just sits in it and he just farts in it. Blah, 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 blah. Makes that clapping sound.
It's Nick in the background going, farting your shit.
Oh my God. And so anyways, this is where he puts the bowl over in the grate. You know, he's still, you're like, oh man, he's being nice. Oh no, he's not. He's a dick. And she has to tell him everything.
Got that great sweater on.
Yeah, I know. With the
started a revolution.
Yeah.
I tell you what, that guy.
His styling in this movie is... perfect.
He also, I think, back in the day, because he got popular right in like the early 2000s when like the turtleneck sweater, the big turtleneck sweater was out. I was like, this guy's caught every sweater revolution for the last 3 decades. Good for
him. He's been a part of it all, yeah.
Part of it all.
And so anyways, this, you know, later it's cool when we see this conversation played out with Blanc giving all the information about it. But anyways, here we're doing the thing. It's happening. Great. What are you going to do? I don't know, blah, blah. And then she gets a call from Meg, who's, you know, calling on behalf of the family to sell her out and be like, you got to give back the money. And yada, yada. She hangs up like, all right, cool. And you know, this is where she's like, I'll do it, Ransom. I'll work with you. You know, you do this and you'll get what you should have got in your inheritance and just get me out of this jam, if you will, or whatever.
It's so interesting, too, to see the family flip on her so quickly, because at the beginning, they're all like, we're so sorry you should have been here. Like,
yeah, but
it's done all of
it. It's all the lip service of, yeah. And I know you know that. I know that obviously it's in them, but it's like, it is totally lip service that even though they keep saying she's like family, she's totally helped to them. Well, and it's the whole thing of like, I think you should have come to the funeral, but I lost the vote.
Yeah. I lost the vote. And everyone said that. So you're like, well, who voted yes?
Every single person like saying that she's from somewhere different.
Yeah.
And like, just I love that. And like, him walking by and like, I forget what he says, but he like hands her the plate as if she's like supposed to just help put it away.
It's like, what is it? It's like Ecuador and Peru.
I mean, there's like six or seven that go through. It's like,
Kevin, you eating crackers in there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought my mic should have been muted. My bad.
I just love the swallowing.
But what is it? Saltines? It sounds like a little thing of saltines.
No, it's an it.
Nice.
That sounds about right.
That is
hell yeah.
But I do like that we all looked at Andy. Like, what is he doing with this one?
You got fucking...
Something failed in here. Like, it was marked as muted, but like for whatever reason, it was live.
So yeah, I heard Kevin refilling some ice, and I was like, did that sound come from over? It was weird.
So then it's the next day, and Marta comes out of her house, and the news is out that are we rich? We might be rich. Well, she comes out of the back door, and Zod's there, and he's gonna be creepy with a cane, and then she's got a bunch of mail, and then he's like, you know, with my resources, I could make sure none of this happens. She goes, well, your resources are my resources. Fucking great move,
son of a bitch.
She snicks back into the house, opens up. She got an unmarked letter with no postage on it. Opens it up. I know what you did, and it's the medical examiner thing.
Like, oh no. What a twist.
Right.
Yeah, awesome. She's just in the movie.
And so this is where she's like, she hits Chris Evans. She's like, yo, Ransom, this is what's happening. He's like, well, this is fucking crazy. Well, we should go to the medical records department. They go to the medical records department. It's burned down. Pom, pom, pom.
Wild.
Yeah, I remember seeing this in the years being like, whoa. They like up the ante here.
There it is. Nailed it. And then Benoit Blanc is there too, of course.
Oh, right. Joe. Yeah, that's a great call, Joe.
You got a fire noise?
No, wait.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
Sirens are on our end.
This is a great one of like, then Benoit Blanc sees them over there. She peels out. They give in the slowest chase possible. Yeah. They peel out, and then in the slowest car chase possible with the cops.
Oh.
Well, worth screaming. They chase them down and eventually get there. And who do they arrest? The one and only Ransom. Dun, dun, dun. It turned out that when Benoit Blanc sat there with Grandmama, she was eventually like, she saw Ransom.
Ransom, you're back again. Mike was asking.
It's a good impression. They take in Ransom, and then Blanc climbs into the car of Marta, and they're going to go the rest of the way. But she's like, I need to pick something up. He's like, okay. So she stops, and she goes into the one place and goes into the back door of the other place. And in there, she finds Fran with a spider on her face, which was weird. And then Fran wakes up real
creepy.
Quick.
Creepy. This is all very creepy.
Super quick. And she's like, you did this. But it's actually Hugh did this, but we don't know that. You did this. And then she dies, but she doesn't have the thing. And then, you know, here
so she'd only been sitting there for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think he just, like, killed her somehow.
He just injected the morphine.
He gave her an overdose.
Yeah.
But, so it's the 8-10 minute window we were talking about with him or her or whatever. You know, this obviously Marta could run and try to keep on the run. Instead, she calls 911 because she's a good person.
Does the right thing.
Benoit Blanc singing out in the car or whatever, and he's, oh, shit, and whatever. And then they, oh, my God, okay. And she finally tells Blanc everything. They go back to the house, and okay, blah, blah, blah. And she mentions Fran's stash or whatever, because that's what Fran mentioned, stash. And so she goes to Fran's stash where the weed usually is, but she has toxicology report. Gives it to Blanc. Marta comes in to confess to the family everything. Blanc cuts her off. Dressed exactly like me right now, Andy.
That's right.
Just like me right now.
But I'm sorry. Daniel? It's Greg, guys.
It's just me.
It's just Greg.
Pat already said Daniel Greg, yeah.
Crazy.
He doesn't read the chat. Nick can't read. And so then they all start, you know, he starts laying into them, and he starts laying out what's actually going on.
Text is so big on that. It's like my mom put it on there.
And then they grab Ransom in a different room. They bring Ransom into a different room where they lay it all out for real now, right? Of like, okay, well, this is what happened. You saw your plan fail, and you were on the phone with us, and this is what you figured out here. And so you knew the only way to get it out to do this would be to pin the murder on her. So that's what. But then the toxicology report came back and there wasn't anything because, of course, you're a good nurse and you can tell just by the viscosity what it is or whatever.
The feel. Yeah, I love that. You've done this so much. Yeah, yeah. I love
perceptible. I love that. It's so cool.
It was really cool or whatever. And so then, cool of course, move. In the middle of it, the hospital calls Marta and she answers the phone and says, Fran's awake and she's ready to give a statement.
Well, so somebody called the hospital?
The hospital called Marta.
Did it again?
Oh my gosh.
Why is that like a machine gun?
I got that here too. Don't worry.
And so finally, at the end of it, you know, Chris Evans, aka Ransom's like, what do you got me for? Attempted murder and arson? Like, I'll be out with a good lawyer, which I have. I'll be out in no time. And what do you, and when I do, I'm going to ruin your life, you bitch, or whatever. And then Marta throws up in his face. And the fun cop, who's also coming up, spoilers in Glass Onion, he's like, that means she's lying. He's like, yeah, exactly. Fran's dead. You are a murderer. We have your confession tape. And then he just goes, well, in for a penny. And he fucking grabs a knife off the chair and does it, and goosh, and it's a fake knife, which was referenced earlier, and I left out, yeah, obviously. But I mean, you wouldn't even know the thing or whatever.
Love that.
And so then it's done. Ransom done. Ransom gets hauled off by the police outside, and then Don Johnson's like, we got to do the thing. And then it turns out that, you know, Don Johnson's a moron and opened up the letter that was blank on the Harlan's desk, and then it was like, oh, it's not even a real letter. But Jamie Lee Curtis at the front, it said, you always have to play a game with that. And if you looked at the notes she was looking at, they had a little bit burned on them and stuff. And she takes a lighter to light a cigarette, and then she does a thing and it shows the invisible ink. She finds out he's been cheating on her, and he's like, what? And then some other stuff happens, and we come back and he's got a black eye because he's all fucked up. Oh yeah. And then inside it was Daniel Craig talking to Marta. What am I going to do? It's all yours, whatever you want to do with it or whatever. And then she comes out on the balcony with the cup that the movie opened with, not the dogs, the cup that says, you know, my house, my rules, you know,
world's best
my
boss.
Business ass or some shit. And then, you know, they all look up at her and they're like, we lost. And then it's a brum, 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 that's Knives Out.
That is Knives Out. I got some fun facts for you here. A lot of cool shit. Despite playing his mother in the film, Kay Callan is 6 years and 27 days younger than Christopher Plummer.
Oh.
That's pretty wild, playing his mom.
Interesting.
Several characters refer to a fictional Hallmark movie starring Danica McKellar, who plays Winnie Cooper, of course, in The Wonder Years, titled Deadly by Surprise. Though McKellar was not asked if her name could be used, she was delighted that it was included, and she shared her love for this film on Instagram. She later sent director Ryan Johnson a knife with the words Deadly by Surprise engraved on it.
I love that. Funny.
Pretty fun. All of the clocks and
phones... She sent it by throwing it at him on a red carpet.
All the clocks and phones have accurate timing. In an interview, director Ryan Johnson said, anytime a clock or phone is seen in the set, somebody has paid very close attention to the time and has asked me what time is supposed to be in the actual scene.
That's great.
Love that stuff. Gosh. Little cool things.
A clock or a what? Phone.
Nailed it.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, JGL, the police detective heard on the television series Marta's Sisters watching, building the film's credits as Detective Hard Rock. Gordon-Levitt has appeared in 6 of the films Ryan Johnson has directed in some way, shape,
or form. You know, he calls himself Joe now. No more Joseph.
Is he in Star Wars?
Really?
Because I still get... No, I still get...
Trooper. He was Mark Hamill.
I still get emails about...
Red. Record.
Hit record. Yeah. And now it says, like, from Joe Gordon-Levitt.
Well, he's old now.
Still JGL, though.
Still JGL. Nobody, I mean, just does not roll off the tongue one bit.
This is just a Joe fact. Joe Mama? Joe. No, Joe fact.
And the last one I got for you is, while filming the big reveal at the end of the film, Ryan Johnson was surprised to discover that Daniel Craig had completely memorized the last 30 pages of the script, most of which are a monologue delivered by his character. Johnson ended up altering the way he shot the scenes, favoring long takes instead of shorter cuts, because he found that Craig's performance became better and better the longer each take became.
That's awesome.
Badass. Fuck yeah. Daniel Craig
is great in this movie. Everybody's great in this movie, but Daniel Craig's great in this movie.
Absolutely. So yeah, that is Knives Out 1. Now, Andy, it's time for the plot for Glass Onion. Actually, no, it's not Glass Onion. We got to talk about what we thought about Glass Onion. Sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. And actually, before we even do that, let me tell you about our sponsors.
This week on Patreon, the Next Gen crew of Kinda Funny, myself, Barrett, Joey, and Roger, did a fantasy film draft picking which movies we think are going to be the best reviewed, and we had some wild choices.
This third one is about to pop off with one Jonathan Majors, because he's looking a God big, thick boy.
He has a
Creed 3, baby.
He has a killing me, man.
Go. Not even on my list.
What? How is that not on your list?
Dune 2. Right, like that's gonna be a banger. Yeah. We have Austin Butler.
Wasn't he like a child star in something?
Yeah. Zoe 101.
Yeah. Zoe 101.
Oh, he's the, my guy.
He's like the bad boy.
Yeah. my dude.
Oh, my guy.
My guy. Oh man, I love that dude.
Can we draft a movie DLC? Trailer.
I would like to draft an unannounced Marvel post-credit scene.
Head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny to listen to this and hundreds of other exclusive episodes right now.
Starting to lose it every
month. I'm losing it every month.
I also want to shout out the DVD cover of
Knives Out, it being so cool that it's, when you flip it around, the circle is around Ransom. Do you know this?
No.
Oh, like the slip case. Yeah.
On the thing.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really cool.
Spoilers, dude. Know, right?
Good for them. Good.
This
for
guy's them. Like, our audience is too stupid. We got to put it in the fucking DVD.
I like to put
DVD
it right in front of their stupid fat faces. They're probably just sitting at home in a pile of their own shit.
Smart in it for some reason.
Why do I keep eating this chili?
He said Sorry. That. He said that in the after making of, and I'm just like,
That's weird. Oddly specific.
We had to make this for our stupid audience in their pile of shit. Shit in the
room. So, talking about me. You know, we're talking about perfectly written movies, and you know, everything is set up for a reason. Earlier in this show, there was a little setup, a little tease about Nick's thoughts on Glass Onion.
There it is.
And now it's time, Nick. What do you think of Glass Onion?
Ah, moving on to Glass Onion. Just not as enjoyable for me, unfortunately. And I think it's because a lot of the actual way the movie is structured and plotted out is just not as tight. It's not as the setup and payoff, I think, takes a little bit of a turn when we get the sort of reveal midway through, which kind of feels a little cheap. And I just don't like the way it kind of feels like he's behind the gun the entire time trying to figure things out, as opposed to the Sherlock Holmes style of, he sees it, he figures it out, and then needs to just mount the case to prove it to everyone else in the great reveal. And at the end, the reveal is actually doesn't really come out of anywhere, because there's even a moment in the movie, if you're paying close attention, where you see Edward Norton's character like swap the glasses, and you're like, well, okay, he's the bad guy, right? Like, why would he swap those glasses if he didn't know? And then Batista dies, and you're like, well, fucking clearly he knew something was going on in there.
When Andy gets off the boat and he looks shocked, I'm like, ah, man.
Yeah. He's back.
He's the only one who's shocked.
Yeah. So
they're already shocked, right? When she showed up at the dock.
Yeah.
But I feel like he was the only one that looked like speechless. Edward Norton was like the only one that was like, "Holy shit!"
Well, he's the close. You know what I mean? You know, split hairs. I understand. That's your interpretation. You nailed it. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You nailed your interpretation.
Well, you know what I mean. Of like that, you gave away the plot for you or whatever. Mm-hmm. Where for me, it was just like, oh well, I mean, like they, you know, we knew there had been a rift. Let alone as it continues, I'm like, oh yeah, like he totally screwed out of the company, and like, you know, she left with nothing. And yeah, I'm like, I could get oh, hey, my once best friend, now greatest enemy, has actually arrived at the thing I invited them to. I bought longer.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just not as tight as a script. I don't think it's as good of a mystery, but it's still enjoyable. It's still fun to watch Daniel Craig kind of really settle into this character, really stretch his wings and broaden that out. Who's going to ever deny the fact that Batista is just having a blast playing this fucking crazy character with the gun and the Speedo? Was the moment of the movie where I was like, all right, he went full into this character, which was great. And it's a great cast, and there is a mystery. It's just by the end of it, because a lot of the stuff wasn't set up as well, I just don't think the payoff was as gratifying as the original. Yeah.
Gregory. Sorry. Greg Waugh.
Nah, we're having fun. Greg Waugh.
Daniel Craig, please. He's out of character.
I'm a man of many talents. I Glass Onion is an enjoyable film. I think it's a very enjoyable film. For me, my problem was I didn't believe this was happening in the same world as Knives Out. Like, I felt this one was more fantastical. Yeah. I thought the characters were less grounded overall. And I know that, like, in Benoit's case, right, it's him acting aloof and being a moron to get there and stuff. But overall, just like, you know, like, the Glass Onion itself, the weird walking robot, like everybody's, even the opening of being meeting everybody, and it's like, we're in Kate Hudson's thing, we're jumping around so much to just being like, this is a lot, and it almost seems like it's just like, you talked about caricatures before, like we've dialed that up, like we've dialed up the saturation on everything, which I'm not against, I just didn't, for me it was like a big like, oh, okay, like this isn't, Knives Out felt like it was happening for the most part, except for like, you know, the puking thing or whatever, in the real world to a degree. Whereas this one doesn't feel like our world, which is fine, and I don't mind, and I was along for the ride, but I didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoyed Knives Out. And I think it is just the fact of it's a looser script, the mystery itself, all these different things. Even like the ending of like, you know, like, what are we doing? We're building this thing, and then we're gonna blow it up and hide. Okay, like even then you're in this giant fireball, and everybody's okay. It's like,
yeah, that
like,
was a little bit. It just felt
it's like, over the top.
Yeah,
the whole movie's over the top.
And when you get to a point where like, I don't know, it's always one of those things where like you want that last bit to be clever and smart, and you want it not to rely on like someone just punching someone in the face or shooting someone else or whatever. And this one just felt like her
punching someone in the face,
her coming.
There it is.
Okay. You know, her coming out with the mug at the end and kind of bookending it, I thought, was like, that's really clever. That's actually a fun way to do this. And it's subdued, but you feel the emotional impact of all these people being like, we're screwed. And in this one, it's like, we couldn't figure out how to get our characters out of this. Let's just have everything go to hell. Yeah. And it just wasn't as gratifying.
Joey?
Yeah, I'm pretty much on the same page as you two. Everything in this movie feels like a little bit of a stretch where I'm just like, okay, I guess this is how we're doing it now with all this, including the characters being like a little bit like too overboard and stuff like that. I think it's really fun to watch them, but I don't think it comes together as like in a nice little tight package like the other one did. I will say getting Catherine Hahn and Kate Hudson back together, very fun and exciting. Dave Bautista, I agree.
Back together?
They were in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days together.
Naturally. Oh. How do you not remember that?
I remember
a classic Matthew McConaughey movie.
I remember the movie and I remember the trailer and I've definitely seen parts of it on TBS, but it was just not one of my. I didn't like him being tortured.
It was a terrible movie.
Just break up with him, you know?
Yeah, but he's also trying to get her to fall in love with him so he can win this big.
Listen, I like Ed TV characters a lot and I'll watch Ed TV. Thank you. Fair enough.
And I don't like the reveal in this movie at all. I don't think it's fun. I really like her performance, but just didn't really do it for me. Yes.
And I didn't mean to stop you. To chime in when you had a chance. That was another thing too. You brought up the switching of the glasses. As in Knives Out, I was watching and I felt like there's so much sleight of hand of like I wasn't catching it. This one felt like it was very much like tossing things very clearly of like, so that we would be like when Catherine Hahn bumps into Bautista right before, I was like, she took the gun, she stabbed him, there were so many of those that I was like, oh, this is like an overabundance of Easter eggs / red herrings. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't, it's too obvious. I want to have to watch the movie again to try to pick up on that. Cause then you watch again, I'm like, well, then they just bumped into each other. That had nothing to do with anything. That's a weird thing.
Yeah. I preferred the Knives Out thing where like especially when like Marta and I forget what his name is, are talking about the plan to get her out. And he's like, turn off before the lion statue. And then she gets there. And then you hear him say, turn after. All of those things I think work better than like the really like obvious gestures and stuff like that.
Well, and I feel like Knives Out it's actually two movies, right? It's a murder mystery, but then it's also a thriller of her trying to figure out how to get away with this thing that she doesn't even want to get away with. That's such a layered, fun thing. This one is just like, I think by midway through Glass Onion, you're like, I don't really like any of these characters, and I don't really feel like I want to be a part of this anymore. I want off this island, you know, where you should feel like this is a fun mystery thing going on, but they're just so horrible to each other all the time.
But I still had, like, once again, if we get one of these movies every few years and it's all these fun ensembles, then I'm in. Right.
Not in the exact same way, but me and Bless just had a conversation that we've had before on shows, but we had it on PS I Love You this time around, and just like, Dark Pictures Anthology. Give me a game a year. And I know what I'm getting, and it's like some of them are better than the other ones or whatever, but I'm always getting the curator. I'm always getting some stupid teens doing something dumb. Like, that's the thing. Knives Out, keep them coming, please. Yeah, please. For sure. I want to see what Benoit Blanc's up to. Benoit Blanc.
That's what I was waiting for.
Andy Cortez, what'd you think?
Definitely not as strong as Knives Out, but still enjoyable. I didn't really get into it until the twist starts. I feel like that's when the momentum really, really picks up. But even before then, I'm still loving. I'm loving all of Edward Norton's wrong word usage, and it's just something that doesn't even feel like it's being paid attention to until Benoit Blanc points it out, and then it becomes even funnier. Like, you know what's happening, and then it's pointed out, and it becomes even funnier. I think this movie might be a overall funnier movie, but I don't think it's as strong with. Yeah, with just kind of setting up the story or having the characters be as likable. I think such a small little moment that like just made me laugh. I had to rewind a couple times. It's Dave Bautista, the beginning of the movie, when he's on his YouTube, Twitch stream or whatever, and his girlfriend Whiskey's in front of him, and she's like, yeah, I like boobs. Sorry, feminist. In the background, he goes, sorry, feminist. There's so many great moments like that. I love Dave Bautista as an actor. But once it pulls that sort of middle of the movie, here's actually everything that is going on, that's when it starts to really ramp up for me. I love the twists of the reference of Jeremy Renner's hot sauce kind of playing a key.
Jared Leto's fucking hard kombucha.
Like, yeah, all of that shit I legitimately had a lot of fun with. And then we get towards the very, very end and you're like, oh, you know, I didn't Obviously, he gave her something. I didn't know it was the hydrogen, whatever.
Clear
thing. But she's planning something right here. It just didn't feel as satisfying as a lot of the reveals in Knives Out.
The other the big problem for me of this, aside from the fact that she's playing her own twin, which is like the worst trope ever for a mystery, is that she I don't like anything that revolves around coincidence for a murder mystery, because it takes the power out of Benoit Blanc being a clever person, right? He should have planned for the fact that she gets shot, right? But that's it's sheer dumb luck that she doesn't die. And that to me is not fun. That's not something that takes the power out of her hands and out of Benoit Blanc's hands and goes, hey, good thing this happened. It just kind of takes me out of the mystery.
If it was revealed that she had
set up a plan for that,
the fake gun to like shoot her, I don't know, something like that, right?
Or case in point, another classic murder mystery movie, 1989 Batman, right? He knows he's got a gun. He puts a little silver.
Who
thing
killed
in there.
The Waynes? We don't know
exactly.
But I really just love the overall just kind of shitting on Elon Musk, being like, no, he's not a genius. He's an idiot. Like it's obvious that that's what this is, and I kind of just. I enjoy all the jokes made at his dispense. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Tim, what did you think?
I'm higher on Glass Onion than it sounds like you guys are. I think both these movies are just equal. Like, I think they have different things to offer. I think at the end of the day, I'd actually give the edge to Glass Onion for finding it more enjoyable. I think that the movies function in a different way for me, where I think Knives Out starts at its strongest and then gets worse over time, whereas this starts at its weakest and gets stronger over time. Maybe like the final moments notwithstanding, but just like the overall, the twists and the turns, like I was along for the ride. In terms of the characters being over the top, I feel like that is the strength of it to me, where it's like I feel like those are very real people, and that's the scariest part of it.
Yeah,
is like all the different archetypes that they have.
I'm with
like,
you there.
That's how these mega celebrities and mega rich people are. And having Kate Hudson, everything she says is racist, and it's like that's real.
It's hilarious.
Know? It's like we look at it as over the top, but it's like that's just how those people are. And it, like the caricatures that they're playing, I think, are very well written. And I think that's what impresses me most is Rian Johnson, I think, was flexing his understanding of these people and of these types. And like when we watch movies and they're playing a video game and it's like give me some bleeps and bloops.
Some bleeps and bloops. Do you want the dog? I can do the dog.
Give me the dog. Dog's fine.
Yeah, like, you know, they're playing video games. And it's like, oh, and it's just like we all look at it like, ugh. There's an authenticity to Rian Johnson. They're playing Among Us. When he's talking about Dave Bautista being this alpha male guy, they're talking about the politics of YouTube and Twitch. Like, there's an understanding.
When he talks about Twitch, though, it definitely doesn't sound like he gets Twitch, does it?
I think it does totally.
When he's like, oh, the first guy to get a million followers and this, then it's like... You're an old man. Like, what are we talking about? I don't know.
But I mean, we're talking about like the jumping over, like with the subscribers, and then like getting kicked off.
Getting
one,
kicked going off because he's talking like, horse pillar. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah,
like, rhino boner pill.
Yeah, rhino boner pill.
I just feel like, I mean, I can see where you're pointing, Tim, but I just feel like I vibe a little more with the subtlety of the commentary in the first one, right? Because I think in this one it starts to get distracting from the actual mystery because he lays it on so thick. Granted, these people do exist in the real world, but I think Rian Johnson was a little bit more concerned with having that commentary come out than actually writing like a really concise, tight mystery that feels fulfilling by the end of it. Again, I stand by the fact that Dave Bautista with a 45 and a Speedo might be the fucking most hilarious thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
But like, just I love that putting him on this island, having the most ridiculous things, the hourly dong, like all the robots
signing the rooms by chakras.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, by the way.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, the voice sound of the dong. but like things like that, I just think that like he really did a good job of using all the elements that he had at play. That yeah, it's like it is ridiculously over the top. Like they literally have the Mona Lisa, right? That whole bit I thought was very well done, and just like a good use of playing with these characters that can, I think, be like easy to just like make jokes about. I think the jokes were clever, and I think it all worked. And the focus on Benoit Blanc as opposed to Marta, I think, worked really well for the second movie. I liked that the first one, Benoit was more of a side character, but I really liked the second one being his story from his perspective. And the latter half of the movie, doing the flashback to the bar at the Glass Onion and all of that, and seeing him do the conversations with the twin and like see the plan all come together, I enjoyed that a lot more than the second half of Knives Out.
And I like that too. I like that it was like a team up toward the second bit. You got a little Holmes and Watson in there, kind of speak. I think he even makes a reference to that at some point. Maybe it was in the first one. I can't remember. But I did like that. One, yeah. And I did like that it puts Benoit Blanc a little bit more centrally located. What I just didn't like was that he felt lost for the most part. And then it kind of dawned on him at the end that it was just sheer stupidity that caused this whole thing.
On rewatch, I did appreciate the more appreciate the like the whole it's a dumb game and that's why I'm overthinking this and it is a glass onion and it is, you know, clear as day. Like, I mean, he says all that and you get it, but rewatching it and, you know, having the Among Us thing again and the Clue conversation and then get there at the end, like, I like that.
Him solving that first murder mystery is like the funniest shit.
Hilarious.
that's but like, so even funny. Nick, your point about the like, oh, just blow things up or just punch him or just whatever, like, I like that that fits to the theme of like, she literally just breaks the fucking thing open. She's like, I'm not even gonna fucking play this game, like, I'm just gonna get this invite and for then later to blow everything up with the thing. I think like that type of stuff, I think, is the cleverness of the mystery of it all. Even if like the reveals weren't really reveals of the murder itself, it was more reveals surrounding the murder, which I like playing with that.
This guy probably likes Last Jedi. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, not going to even comment on that.
Skip right over that. Over your expectations.
You know where I do want to go, though, Andy?
What's up?
The plot.
Oh, to the plot? Oh, man. Do I got that for you right here, Timothy? I got that.
And I'll tell you what, Greg. You really just sacrificed the entire little notebook for these plots, huh? Every single page filled out.
I mean, what do you want me? I don't even know what mic I'm using. Kevin, are we wireless? I mean, like, what? I mean, it's just sat around forever. I'm not using it for a bit.
I love
Can
it.
Can I make a bit?
It's four-man function.
Don't make me punch Joey.
Punch Joey right in the face.
No, don't play the sound, Andy.
No, no.
Punch it. I punched her with a mysterious rainbow.
Give me my plot song.
Mr. Giddies, I'm Greg Walblom.
So yeah. Close.
You can feel the heat of his beard.
It's so much
and it's
heat.
Time for glass on you. Agatha Harkness opens the door, ladies and gentlemen, to an Alpha delivery. It's one of the many Alpha companies you'll soon find out that are run by who? Edward Norton. That's right, the Hulk. As
holy
this all
shit.
Goes on,
not
it's,
as good as Thor.
It's a, she's about to go on. She's the fucking governor or whatever. And then her husband, who's also a comedian from a bunch of stuff, and he's been in his things.
Right.
He's like, it's a thing from fucking Edward Norton, the Hulk. And she's like, what? And then she's got to go live. And then,
oh, Greg, check this out. Hulk, not as good as Thor. Oh, no, never mind. I thought it was Thunder. Christ. It's a train.
That train. It's a train reminded me of Spider-Man. Remember when Tobey Maguire holds back the train, Tim?
Oh, Kevin, yeah. Kevin, yeah. Can we bring Andy an It's It? He needs some sugar. He's need something.
This is where we're introduced to all the goofy little friends here, the Disruptors. Lionel's working over at Alpha Space. They're all telling him to push back against Edward Norton, the Hulk. Don't do this or whatever. And he's like, no, it's fine. We'll do it. And then he gets this giant box. Then you got Katie Hudson, of course, at a party. She's getting down. Who's the man she talks to about the music eventually? Jen was like, I think that might be Yo-Yo Ma.
It was
Yo-Yo
Ma.
And I was like, I've heard that name and could not identify Yo-Yo Ma in a million different ways.
Greg, real quick. If you're not going to get up again, can we use the other mic?
Yeah,
that sounds significantly better.
Yeah, go for it. For it. What?
Yeah.
Got it. And I'm off. Yo-Yo Ma, show up to the fucking set. He's green screened in.
It was awful.
It's fucking awful. And here's, you know what I mean?
I think they might, were they actually filming this during COVID or no? Yeah, so that might have been a thing.
I don't care. Everybody else is there. Yo-Yo Ma can't show
up.
Well,
they got the, you know, they shot him in the mouth.
Yeah, why, that's not real.
Oh, right. Yeah, that looked why really, did I get it?
That was distractingly bad. That
I liked it because I liked answering a question with it. And again, I thought it was a good setup to who Miles is, right? That he would have this. He'd be that kind of dick. I've solved COVID, or I've bought a solution to COVID, and I'm not going to share it with anybody. Instead, Ethan Hawke will just show up and douse you all with it, and this will be his only moment in the entire
great.
Movie. I was like, that's a good cameo.
I,
like
I mean, another thing that, like, we just contextually with the time, it's like, this is the one of the first movies that's COVID's a thing.
Yeah.
And, like, we're
yeah.
seeing them deal with COVID in that way, that it's just, like, it's weird that, like, this is not going to be the last movie that deals with it, but...
Sure. They do it so well, though.
Yeah, and playing
place.
With it and like all the different masks
when
stuff.
When
like,
Katie Hudson shows Kate up Hudson, with the yeah. what's a chainmail mask,
gold.
I know her, Katie.
Oh, okay.
I know her, Katie. This is a reference.
It's like
to
a
how I know her,
yeah.
Katie Hudson. anyways, though, that's going on. Yeah, Batista is a Twitch streamer and his thing, and he's got whiskey and he loves boobs. Then
I love his mom just yelling at him.
Totally. Yeah, that was really funny, right? And they all get the box delivered. They all get on the phone. Eventually, you know, it's a funny thing of how do you figure it out? The mom opened hers because she knew it was. Okay, sorry, that's distracting. Mike walks in.
Mike,
in his shorty shorts. Come walk
here.
Across the stage. How
show
are we supposed to do a fucking
off.
Show? How are we supposed to do a goddamn show when you look like this?
Mike, what's for Thanksgiving dinner?
Yams, candied yams.
Fucking yams.
Good fucking Lord. So that's happening. And then, oh, yeah, they all get on the phone. They're all doing the thing. They're all calling each other, and they're all trying to figure it out.
Trying to solve it together.
His mom is the one who figures out the magic eye thing. Lionel wasn't smart enough for that. I feel like the first thing I would do is probably press for a button in the center, and I would find it pretty quickly, but whatever. Then we get into a million different things, showing people are smart and people are dumb. Katie Hudson, she ain't too bright.
Question
for
you guys. This whole they're on the phone together, split screen, fun, moving around in different ways. What's the first time that was ever used that you know? Because I want to credit Mean Girls, but it must have been before Girls.
Oh, the phone call?
When Harry Met Sally, probably.
A bit older than the Mean Girls.
Never saw that.
I'll tell you what, I hated the seamless wood on this contraption.
Yeah. Hated it.
Like, when it closes and it's like you don't see any... It's like, it doesn't make sense.
Hard to make.
It doesn't make sense.
Breaks your brain.
It's cool.
Stereogram.
Stereogram.
Oh, shit.
Surprised you wouldn't get it. You know what I mean? Anyways, eventually they get to the bottom right after some funny stuff and, you know, Katie Hudson talking to an echo that wasn't an echo. And then Peg, and, like, this is another, you know, like, oh, is Peg there? No, she's putting out a fire. What did you tweet this time? No, literal fire. And she runs by with the fire extinguisher. She's like, all right, man, nah, not
like it.
No, nah, I did not like that joke. But again, humor's for everybody. You know what I mean? You and me,
humor's for everybody.
You and me have one set of, you know, high expectations. Shit, pig man over here.
Shit, pig man. Holy shit.
It's the pig now.
Oink, oink. You got a pig there?
It's involved.
Just rolling his own filth at home. Twitch stream oink, whatever oink, the piggy. Fuck Hollow Knight's doing.
What's that Hollow Knight up to?
What happened today? I'm so confused.
This is that like one day when Greg was like, these kids and their Bakugans. I just remember mid-breath him going, the Bakugans!
Anyways. They eventually get to the card, and it's, you know, come to the island, private island here in Greece, my disruptors. You know, you're gonna solve my murder, send along dietary restrictions or whatever. And they're all like, yeah, cool, we're going to party. And Katie Hudson, she dances around. And then, of course,
we give a shout out to just her wardrobe throughout this entire
movie.
Incredible. It's so good.
And then, of course, just rocking this bikini, right? And they like slow mo it. I was like, damn, Katie Hudson.
Oh, yeah, with the little, gold situation going on. I don't know what that
was like.
Called.
They're called abs. Yeah. No, like jewelry. I don't have them. Like, yeah. I know them when I see them.
And then we cut to Janelle Monáe sitting there and then just smashing it with a hammer, right? And then we go from there to the one and only Benoit Blanc, who's in the bathtub, playing with Angela Lansbury. Lansbury, they're playing Among Us. He immediately gets found out he's not good at the
they're
game,
on
right?
Zoom call. Yeah. He's looking at her name is like M. She Wrote or whatever.
No, it's like Murder She Solved.
Murder She Solved, yeah. Like, awesome. Yeah, y'all are.
Kareem is here too.
Natasha
Lyonne.
Yeah.
And then who was the fourth one? It was somebody else that had died recently.
Oh, Jesus. God, the curse.
The old dude.
Yeah.
He was in Angela Lansbury movie at some point, like one of their first ones that was also mystery based.
What? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Did you also see, do you guys know about Cain's Jawbone, the book? It's on the floor when he's in the bathtub. And it's this book that's been going around on TikTok. It's a book, but all of the pages are out of order. So you're supposed to like deconstruct the whole book and try and get them in the right order. And only like four people have ever solved it.
Oh.
So I just think like, oh, of course that Ben, like in the middle of COVID, he has nothing else to do. He's like, I'm going to solve this crazy mystery thing.
Yeah.
Well, so I thought that was a fun little touch.
I also love that he's like, it's very Sherlock Holmes, right? Sherlock Holmes notoriously when he didn't have a murder to solve, when he felt useless and devolved
jerked
into like
off,
heroin use, I think was what was in the book.
Oh,
so,
Jesus.
Yeah. So he would, so this is that like that where he's like, you got to get back to work. You got to do something else.
Oh, Sondheim. Thank you.
The Natasha woman.
Yeah.
Is that her name or her real name?
Real name.
And she, I know her from American Pie, of course.
Oh,
but
really?
Yes. And that, she's also got a show on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about
Russian
the same woman.
Is it Russian
right?
Doll? Yeah.
I'm thinking
and
the
then
person.
She's.
Is that like a murder? Is that a, it's not a mystery show, right?
No, but she is the main character in Rian Johnson's next like murder mystery series that's coming out soonishly. No.
Wait, look at this. Or not.
American Pie 5.
We got to solve who killed Jason Biggs. This man is on fire with passion. Is Eugene Levy still alive? We got to get him in this picture. I'll tell you right
he's
now.
He's got a great son. Yeah, he's alive too.
He's got a great son.
Yeah, they're in that Schmitz Creek everybody likes.
Schmitz Creek.
Schlitz Creek.
Oh, my fucking God.
I love Eugene Levy and them eyebrows. I'll tell you what. He can rub my face any day.
Oh, goodness
give a sound effect for that, Andy.
I want to give a shout out, of course, to the scene to one Hugh Grant in this movie.
Yes.
So
which
good.
Came out of nowhere, and I was like, awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Really well done. Yeah,
you've got to know that was a favor. Daniel Craig was like, Hugh, just come be this character real quick for me. Give a little kind of cameo. And Hugh Grant, of course, is awesome.
He did some great thing about it. Not thing about it, but he was getting interviewed for some other movie recently. And I forget. I just saw the clip on TikTok of him be like, oh, yeah, and I'm Daniel's husband. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? Oh, in the Knives. Oh, yeah, okay.
So great. Cool, yeah. So great.
Anyways, that's the thing. There's a knock at the door right as you say, I need a great case. Knock at the door. There's someone here for you. And they've got a box. And that's the title treatment there. From there, we're at the docks. This is where Ethan Hawke shows up and goes, shoots everybody in the mouth with their is it COVID killer or whatever, right? Daniel Craig, only one who doesn't cough.
Oh. Mm.
And I love the COVID commentary in this, too. You've got Daniel Craig with a mask. You have the scientist guy with, like, the really good, like, N95. Kate Hudson with the... Hilarious. Like mesh one,
yeah.
Dave Bautista, nothing. It's just like these little things that like show you.
Another
there
thing was the Agatha Harkness, whose real name is Catherine Hahn. Catherine Hahn like had it under her nose,
yeah.
And then
yeah.
like the moment that they're talking, and he's like, "Oh, the governor," and she's like, puts it on. It's like, "Oh shit, I gotta be cooler." Love that shit. Great job.
Of course, that's happening. They show up. Janelle Monáe shows up. Everybody's shocked by it. Then we're on the boat. It's piece of shit. Where we're going, piece of shit. Cool. You know, and they don't get the reference right away. Of course, we see Janelle grasping the thing. We don't know why yet, but eventually, because she's seasick. You know what I mean?
Ooh. Is this where they were getting drinks for the first time? Either way,
no.
What I do want to say, this movie features one of my favorite lines in movie history, which is Bautista saying, "No pineapple, right? Duke don't dance with pineapple."
That's when they go to shoot him with the thing. Yeah. He's like, "There's no pineapple on that."
Fucking
right?
Hilarious.
Which is a hilarious line that then pays off in the end.
Exactly.
So you like that a lot. We get there, and Edward Norton's playing a song on the beach. It's a Beatles song. Nobody knows it. You know what I mean? I'm sure somebody
will know.
What is it?
Time for Motive Menagerie. It's Blackbird, man. Take these broken wings and learn to fly.
Give me some birds.
Take these broken wings. That's a song,
that's
all right?
A song, brother.
Song.
The Beatles are like fucking just smelled something. Like, and everybody's like, oh my God, it's a cheeseburger.
They smelled something?
They smelled. That's how Lennon wrote all the songs.
But they arrived Abbey at Lane. The beach, right, Greg?
Yeah.
Abbey Road.
Nice. Nailed it. Crushed it. It's the song. It's actually the guitar Paul wrote it on. He drops it. Kate Hudson flips out. Everybody comes off the boat, and they're like, whatever, blah. And then, you know, Duke's there, and he's like, yeah, you know, Bautista bomb. Don't forget. Mm-hmm. Never forget.
I won't.
Okay. Thank you. He comes out. He's like, oh, hey, you went all out getting Benoit Blanc. He's like, what? And he looks over there, and then it's like, what? And then he sees Andy gets distracted by it, right, because she actually came. And so it's like, wow. And on the boat, it was explained to Benoit Blanc that Andy's Cassandra or whatever.
He social networked her. That's what he said.
Oh, yeah. So there's a brief interchange there, and then he's like, hey, welcome, you know, let me give you the tour. Welcome to the Glass Onion. Leave your bags here. They'll get there. I got the things, the haptics of the PS5 yeah. will guide you to your room based on your chakra and all this
stuff.
So
jazz. Funny.
Real funny. And then Daryl, what's his name? Dave? Daryl.
Just a random dude?
Yeah.
Just a
random dude.
Yeah, I never really explained.
Comes
I love
back
it.
A couple times yeah. throughout.
Who is the detective? He isn't. I don't think he's the same character, but he could be.
No.
But he's one of the policemen from Knives Out, obviously.
Oh, that makes sense.
He's the funny one there.
I was like, why but is this guy in this movie?
In this movie, they only give you his first name, and in the last movie, they only gave his last name. So it is possible, because he just says he's been going through some stuff. So.
Oh, I like that.
Who knows what it could actually be, right? Anyways, though. Everybody go to your room. We'll meet back at the pool. Benoit, come with me. Benoit goes up there. He's like, thank you for inviting me. I didn't invite you. What do you mean? I got this thing. I didn't actually. Oh, no, shit, fuck. Okay, this ain't good. You know what I mean? We'll figure it out.
The set design of this place is fucking incredible. Like, all
Baby
the
blue.
Dumb bullshit. Baby Blue, the Porsche. I was like, I love this. I love this so much. Like, all the commentaries of them being like, so do you drive whatever? He's like, nah, it's up here.
No, you
like,
can't. You can't drive on the highway.
Yeah, like I said, there's no roads on the island.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. Yeah.
And then having the little baby blue next to the
of course,
pool.
From there, they go to the pool. There's a little baby blue filled with the hard kombuchas that Jared Leto sends over or whatever. So this is where Dave Bautista, of course, Bautista mom, says, you know, you almost pancaked me outside of Anderson Cooper's yeah. New Year's Eve party. He's throwing some crazy ragers.
I'm sure Andy Cohen was wasted at that party.
Oh my gosh, I can only imagine. Shots everywhere.
You know, they do that. Bautista shoots the gun. We get a little bit more scenery to chew on.
Oh, he what, Greg?
Shoots the gun. Nailed it. Sounded just like that.
Thank you.
Kate Hudson's there. They talked to Andy a little bit. Yeah,
is
Kate Hudson.
BB gun? What is
that? Gunshot.
A staple gun.
That's like the GoldenEye.
A nail gun. Yeah. Anyways, Kate Hudson talks to Andy, but she was also talking to Peg, who no one can remember her. Or, you know, Miles can't remember her name and doesn't care about her or whatever. There's a bunch of stuff going on. They have those conversations. Then they go into, like, the cabana, and that's where Miles gives his disruption speech to explain to Benoit what's going on. I've heard, you know, you say disruption. What is that? What are the disruptors? You know what I mean? It's like a disruption. And it's just a nonsense, bullshit, fucking asshole kind of thing or whatever, trying to be cool. This is where he mispronounces a bunch of names or words and uses them wrong and does a whole bunch of stuff there. Sorry, I'm boring you, Tim. This is when, Andy interrupts and is like, this is bullshit. And this is a great, you know, second watch one of like, you know, the Andy that I built Alpha with believed it. You know what I mean? Again, he's not calling it out that he knows she's not Andy. If you watch the movie the first time, you'd be like, it's a normal thing to say. But in the, you know, hindsight 2020, he knows that obviously he killed Andy. So the fact that she's here, she is not the same. And then she gives her a big speech, just cutting them all apart or whatever. And then she bounces, right? But basically, you know, they're all bad. They're all, you know, sucking from the golden teat here. That's what it's all about. And they all kind of, you know, file off. But there's a great thing where she gives a speech and everything's horrible. And then she leaves. And he's just like, wow, I really appreciate the honesty or whatever, right? All right, dinner's at 8:00 and I'll see you guys. Like, let's have some fun tonight or whatever, blah, 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 blah. Agatha and Andy talk over there. Peg comes up to him and is like, listen, you gotta you don't let Katie Hudson take the fall for Bangladesh, right? My resume is completely her. And he's like, sorry, she's gotta take the fall. And we're like, what's Bangladesh? What's Bangladesh?
Okay, hold on 1 second.
What's Greg. Bangladesh?
Yeah, ask it one
what's
more
Bangladesh?
Time.
What's Bangladesh?
What's Bangladesh?
There you go. Nailed it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is where we get some more of a little segment I like to call the Motive Menagerie.
Motive Menagerie.
Batista sees Whiskey having sex over there with the Miles man. There's the smokeless thing with Benoit, which is funny or whatever. But again, I think super over the top and like, this isn't real. But okay, whatever you're doing is what you're doing. Then it's dinner's time. Miles knows everybody's drink. He has it prepared for him. He gives it to it. Hands Peg just a solo cup. Like, what do you mean? Like, doesn't even give her like the chance to do anything else. This is where we introduce the Jeremy Renner hot sauce. This is where everything's going through. Doesn't know what to give Blanc, but he's this gives Angie or Andy her drink. She still takes it. Whiskey soda, I think it was.
Yep. Yeah.
Then we introduce, of course, Catherine Hahn, of course, Agatha. She's like, I'm fucking evil and I'm a witch. She's like, you have all this amazing shit from the modern art crap here, but why have this, you know, print of the Mona Lisa? And he's like, and it turns out that he has the Mona Lisa.
She's like,
of
look around. There's a bunch of runes on the walls, what she says.
Yeah, you're all locked in. France needed money, so they did that to that. They gave it to him for money. He's on loan.
Nobody's visiting museums. Yeah. They shouldn't hear.
And so, some of the art, like upside down and stuff like that in the background. And doesn't know because he's not doing it because he actually cares about it.
That's funny. I didn't catch that. I didn't know that. I caught the weird Ronald McDonald painting or whatever. I was like, okay.
Of course you caught that.
Of course I did. Fan.
Fucking Andy.
Pigs in his own shit. Pigs in his own shit. This is where we introduce them. It has it, and it's got this security system, but I'm a dick and put it in an override and yada, yada, yada. And finally, we get to the crux of the issue. Why would you want the Mona Lisa here other than that being fucking dope? And he's like, well, I'm bringing all the world's leaders here next week, and I'm going to introduce them to the idea of Clear America. I have Claire and Lionel working on this thing, and we're going to get it through, and they're going to do it, and it's going to happen right now. We're going to do this in a year. And he's like, I need two years
minimum.
He says it like that. You know, Aaron Burr, sir. We haven't made a reference to that yet, by the way. Sorry. Really? Oh, man, it's good. I don't know if you like it, but I liked it a lot. I think you like it. Why wouldn't you? It's shocking. It's
on Disney Plus. Because there was a lot of people that were like, went really hard for it, and I was like,
Here's what I'll tell you. It's the first time a Disney Plus, you know, Hamilton's debuting tonight or whatever, and they said it in a 1920s newscaster voice. And I sat down and I watched it, and it was over, and I was like, oh, all right. And I wasn't like, and then I had like some earworms that I like brewed for several months. And it wasn't until I was playing Bloodborne where I just listened to Hamilton soundtrack over and over and over again. And I was like, this shit fucking rocks. This shit fucking rocks. But it was on such a high pedestal. People put it so high. But Lionel, a.k.a. Aaron Burser, is really good in it. And Bloodborne's an all right game. Claire and Lionel are freaking out about it and like can't do this. He's like, well, guess what's running this shit right now? Clear. It's running right now. Wow. And of course, this is another motive menagerie. You don't need to do the song, but I'm just saying. Well, you can do it, sure.
Menagerie.
And Lionel's like, I'm not going to fucking do it. He's like, you're going to fucking do it because you're my bitch. Now let's go to have the dinner thing. It's time for the murder mystery. And so he sits him down. And he's like, here's the thing. We're going to do this murder mystery. It's going to be all weekend long. And Batista's like, can I still talk to you? He's like, I'm still going to hang out. Yeah, I'm not dead. I just can't help you with the case or whatever, right? And so then he lays out all the rules or whatever. And then, you know, Benoit's like, is there a prize? He's like, what? Yeah, they're fine. There's an iPad. You know what I mean? Or whatever. So really funny or whatever.
I will say that we watched this. I think I watched this with Kevin. Now it's when Kevin was pushing really hard to do the Christmas swap thing where the final gift was an iPad. And Kevin just looked at me in the thing and was like, see, this is what we need to do.
They've
like,
got the right idea.
Also, several prominent brimless hats in the movie. There were two.
And the fact that Dave Bautista and the pineapple, Kevin was like, see, pineapple sucks. This is a very Kevin movie.
A couple of brimless hats.
Anyways, Benoit stands up and immediately unravels the entire plot, right? It's Birdie J. She's going to shoot you with that. She would have shot you with that crossbow. It's all because of the Ren diamond that she's used to having or whatever.
The magazine cover.
The magazine.
I love this part.
It's so good. The J-Hawk crossbow for Birdie J. The 1998 Face magazine where she was wearing it. If you don't mind, will you open up your necklace? And there it is. The Ren diamond's inside of that, right? He's fucking pissed, of course. And then the blood shoots out. Yeah. Like, oh, it's okay.
He's like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah. Hulk pulls aside James Bond, and they go to the Glass Onion. He tosses the iPad at him. He's all angry. Are you angry? And he's like, no. And he's like, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like,
you
set up all this shit.
When I'm angry.
Guy, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah.
Good. Yeah, thank you.
He has a little watch for his, like, he's counting his heartbeat. You remember? Mm-hmm. Remember that? Couldn't have sex in that movie.
Yeah.
Well, he says that I hired Gillian Flynn to write the whole thing. Gillian Flynn's the Gone Girl.
So
writer.
Good.
So
that's really good. And she's expensive. Benoit admits he ruined it on purpose. You know, this is not what you think. And if you have all these people here with several motives, you shouldn't do this. And somebody brought me in, you know, and I've learned from experience that if I'm brought in on a secret thing, it's not a good thing. So, like, you know, yo, be careful or whatever. Each has a reason to do you harm. It's like putting a loaded gun on the table and turning off the lights, of course, which will come back to it. You want to do the thing? She said, dun, dun, dun. This is also where we introduce the Alpha Napkin. Which is a bunch of fucking nonsense, right? Some app and bullshit. And I don't know. It's going to get you to Facebook or whatever.
Yeah, it's like his layout for the future of whatever Alpha is.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. How they'd make the one app fund the entire thing, which it has, because it's Alpha everything now, right? Anyways, then we cut back down to the depressing party. Everyone's bummed out. Everyone's like, I'm leaving tomorrow. And then Boosie's like, I'm not leaving. I just got here. I'm having the time of my life. I'm drinking tequila. We also introduced Duke's Google alerts. They're just going off. Funny, you got a Google alert for movies? I like movies.
The Googs are going nuts.
The Googs are going nuts right now.
Which is such a Nick thing to say.
So
the Googs.
Or Macuga. I could also see Macuga having Google alerts for movies. And Andy declares that she wants the truth, why everybody fucking sold her out and everything else. You know, Duke gives it to her. You're a loser. Then, you know, Miles has shown up. The party's getting going a little bit.
A line I liked about truth is that it's a dangerous thing to confuse speaking without thought with speaking the truth. And like,
so good.
It's like an okay line, but said by Benoit Blanc with it. Like the weight is like, oh, this is good.
Yeah, it's real good. It's real good.
Are you saying I'm dangerous?
So good. Also, I love the scene where we get Batista watching Elon or, you know, Edward Norton have sex with his partner, and then the camera goes back a little bit and you see Benoit Blanc watching it. And then later when we see an added person, like, this is fucking gold.
Agatha bumps into Duke like I talked about before. Duke is getting alerts. He looks down there. He says, wow, this is great. My Twitch channel's blowing up without you on it. What's that mean, man? But then he shows it to Edward Norton, the Hulk, and he's like, whoa, that is cool, dude. He's like, yeah, this changes everything for Alpha News. He's like, sure it does or whatever. And so then this is where the incredibly obvious gives him the wrong glass. But it's also like, he gives him a glass. I mean, we know if you're paying attention. And at this point, I think we were all paying attention.
I didn't catch it.
I didn't catch it the first time.
Oh, okay. At this point, I was on heightened alert. I was like, something's
going on. I mean, did you catch the phone where we see what he's looking at on his phone?
Oh, no. I didn't know you actually could see
it's
that.
It's not. I paused to look at this. He sees on his Google alerts, he had alerts for everybody. No. He was alerted that the woman was killed.
Well, yeah, so, they tell us that.
But you see it. You see
him. Oh, sure. I believe that.
So he'd be like, oh, we have a ton of views or whatever. He's showing Edward Norton, I know she's dead, and that which shows he knows that he killed her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that was the thing of him being like, fuck, I don't care if people see me switch or whatever. I got to kill this motherfucker.
Sure. You got that from the end, though, when they told you that anyway, right?
Well, for sure. But seeing it happen, like, I pausing and seeing that on the phone, I was like, oh, shit. Like, this is going
down. I would expect no less from Rian Johnson.
RJ.
RJ.
RJ, they call him. Duke dies. Falls down dead, right? Duke is dead. I'm Jeff Keighley. Thank you. Thank you very much. They all panic. There's a bunch of brouhaha. He's dead. You know, Miles, they can't find his phone. They hear a Google alert. They can't find it. The gun's gone.
Let me just throw in this joke that I was going to say earlier, but I'm glad Nick is back. Like, I didn't notice that the cup was switched because I was just so distracted by how the pile of shit that I was sitting in. It was just so distracting.
Barrett, knocked on the door. Stinky. He's like, it smells like shit out here. It's my shit. You start doing the thing. You're like,
Where'd you get the pig?
They're going to kill me, Miles says. He starts panicking. You got to save me, Benoit Blanc. And he's like, what's going on? Where's Andy? Where's Whiskey? Yada-da-da-da. Oh, my God. And then it's oh, my God, it's 10 o'clock. The dong. Oh, my God, what's going to happen at 10 o'clock? The lights are going to go out. The lights go out for 20 minutes or whatever. Everybody screams and panics and runs around. There's a bunch of brouhaha and craziness going on. But we need to know is eventually Benoit Blanc runs into the one and only Andy, starts catching her up and says, I need you to do the thing with the stuff. Or whatever, and then bam, she shot through a window. Benoit does a cool turn or whatever.
She's what, Greg?
Shot through a window.
She's shot through a...
Shot through the...
Class breaking, maybe.
Everybody, the lights come back on. Everybody comes out and sees her body. They see her covered in blood. They see Benoit crying, and he says, "It's time to finish this." From there, we get a time jump. We are going back, ladies and gentlemen, to the one, the only. Hugh Grant.
Hello.
Opening the door.
Hugh
Grant.
It was Hugh. Hugh did this.
It was Hugh all along. He opens the front door to find Andy with a southern accent. Say, what?
This is wacky.
With a crazy box or whatever, looking for the one and only Benoit Blanc. Her name is actually Helen. Andy is her twin sister. Andy did not commit suicide. She had a journal, notes for future biographers, which is pretty dope. We get run through the fact.
One of those? Anyone?
Yeah, I do. You do? It's mostly about Tim, though. Mm-hmm. I just keep notes on him. Extensive notes.
For when that day comes.
When that day comes. Shout out to Janelle Monáe. When she died in this, I was like, fuck. I wanted more of her. And we got a lot more.
You got a lot more of her, too.
Thank you for that.
I'd like to give a shout out to Nick Scarpino.
Yeah. Me, too.
Earlier, when you guys were like, oh, JGL's the voice of the dong, he leaned over and goes, I want to be the voice of your dong. I was like, yeah, Nick, you got the job. Don't worry about it.
Oh, great.
You know what it's going to sound like, Tim?
Him.
No. Talking to me.
Oh, you know what you do.
So useless.
This is where, you know, why doesn't Andy have a southern accent? Well, she adopted the rich bitch voice they used to talk about caviar with. Helen was going through Andy's house, she went through her email, which people always make sound so easy. I could have gotten fucking Joey's phone if I wanted to. You know what I mean? But it's like people are always getting this stuff. It turned out, unless maybe it's got the face scan. Maybe she had the face scan. Mm. They found the email about love, the love Andy envelope. I found the proof, and now I'm going to give it to everybody and ruin his whole empire. And then she's dead suicide the next day or whatever, right? And so, you know, something's more to this thing than that thing. And he's like, I'm going to, you know, I'll go to the island, but you should still go to the island and we'll do the island thing together. And she's like, is this safe? And he's like, no, it doesn't have to be, but you know, and it's confirmed that she doesn't drink and she doesn't do good on boats. Right now we're, going back, still in the flashback here. We're at the Glass Onion, right? And it's the same thing of Andy's, doing the thing and we're flashback into when they were at the actual Glass Onion bar. Sorry. That's what it was.
And guess what, Nick?
Is it a wig? I don't know. Wigging out with Scarpino.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the classic podcast, Wigging Out with Scarpino. Andy, did you spot the wig?
So many terrible wigs in this whole shot. Edward Norton's was terrible. Yeah. It's like a lot. I think
love
a lot
the characters
of it is
playing in this, though. Like,
I just think it's so weird to try to make. Edward Norton looked like a 20-something-year-old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But have you seen the things of, he's dressed like Tom Cruise from Magnolia or whatever? Yeah. That's funny.
I didn't realize that.
I caught that. I was like, that's interesting.
Dave Bautista's wig, terrible.
Terrible.
I fucking love it. But he was a pro gamer. I mean, I feel like they knew. They knew it looked
bad.
Yeah,
I don't think they're trying to have good wigs.
Anyway,
that's part of the wig and not podcast.
Nailed it.
They're just hiding in plain sight.
So it's the whole thing of Andy's actually the ringleader. She got everybody together, but then she brought in Miles, and he's the one who got everything else. He got Catherine her first job there, whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. He moved Lionel from being a middle school teacher to getting into science or whatever.
I want to make
Duke
something
set up in Twitch.
Yeah. Just,
he went there and set up twitch.tv.
I hated that sentence. Yeah, I hated that sentence.
Oh, but, it's real.
But Tim's always saying, of course, this is exactly
how this
works.
Is these people just have somebody set them up and then they just have the platform to talk?
If you don't mind.
I don't mind, Greg.
Nick, what would my dick say to this?
Tim.
Call your dong.
Tim.
That's all he could say.
That's all he knows.
Your dick's like a Pokemon.
Tim. My dick's named Tim.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it evolve.
Your dong, excuse me.
Sorry, my dong. Anyways, this is the whole thing of then this is the cocktail napkin and alpha and where it's going to go.
I want to make something that could be said
mentioned in the same breath as the Mona Lisa.
Yeah,
exactly.
Immortality.
Immortality. But then we ride it all the way to him wanting to do this new hydrogen fuel that some guy sold him on. We get him dressed like Steve Jobs because, of course, he hasn't had an original idea. He just keeps copying people he likes. This is where she's like, I'm going to bounce then and do whatever the fuck you will. And then there's a big lawsuit and she can't come up with a napkin to prove that it was her idea. And everybody in court, all the people we just talked about, they lie in court saying that, you know, no, it was Miles who did it or whatever. And so she yells at them in court. And then she goes home and she trashes her own house. And then the book falls off, and inside the book is the glass onion napkin that proves it. She takes a photo, sends it, blah blah blah.
The glass onion napkin thing.
No.
Doesn't lost me on it in terms of
yeah.
I know the bar doesn't exist anymore, but these people have like millions of dollars. How hard is it just to print a napkin with a bar's name on it?
It's a bad smoking gun. It's a bad MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Like, it's not good.
The fact that like he remade the thing and then weathered it enough to look as long as it needed to be, like, oh, okay, so we got two.
She could have done the same thing.
We got two. Well, this one, they were out of those napkins that day, and I had this one.
Yeah, but like they need her handwriting. They need, I'm sure they could do some sort of like carbon dating on it to find out how old
it's
it was.
It's just one of those things where you go like, oh,
but Alpha would do it and they wouldn't improve it.
Right. It would just be like, if you're being so faithful to what these characters represent in real life, then all that would mean is just a bunch of conspiracy theories that people throw around on the internet and it would never get proven. And that's where my brain goes. It's like, there's no way that anyone ever believe her. Everyone on the right would be like, she's lying. Everyone on the left.
Even
like,
at the end of this movie where it's just like, I'm like, well, I can kind of see Edward Norton get out of this though still.
Easily.
You know what I mean?
Easily.
Like, it's not like, I don't, you know, every single line, I'm like, I don't know.
It's on an island that he controls. He can control the narrative as they get off that island. Like, who's going to prove anything in this?
Yeah. And it's like, it's like.
But at the end, isn't it like all his friends turn on him and are going to be like, yeah, he killed.
But again, the opposite of that to counter is that all his friends lied for him in the first place. So why would he be like, they lied?
Cross-examination, yeah, exactly. Yeah, how can we believe you on this one?
No one can be believed at all. And he's a billionaire. Don't forget that.
Like, and I still feel like, yeah, are they, like, I don't know. There's a lot of idiots right there, a lot of shitheads that suddenly need to get a concrete thing together real fucking quick to tell the cops there. Especially explaining, like, and are they going to end with, and Andy threw the clear in the fire. It's like, all right, well, Andy destroyed the Mona Lisa. Is like, so... Is Edward Norton the Hulk just gonna sue her, and then also then this France
is
suing?
France sue
her? It's like, I don't, you know, I mean, like, whatever. It's just
what
not,
did France do?
You know? We ended Knives Out with it being like, Marta's on top, and I know she's still gonna have to go to the mat with these people about it, but like, she's gonna win that one,
right?
Whereas this one, I'm like, I don't know if you're in.
Well, at least she has the weapons with which to win that, right? In this one, you're like, you're still dealing with a guy that's got what, hundreds of billions of dollars in the bank.
I mean, I think that's
and
the point,
great
though,
technology,
right? Like, it's like the whole point of it is that, like, yeah, it's like these are bad people that have way too much power and control. And like, even with all this, like, we're still like, hey, you probably can get away with this.
Yeah.
That was my read on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like if this were a book, you'd get to the end of that and be like, oh, okay.
Shout out to the sweatshop line.
This. So
please tell me you didn't think a sweatshop is where they make sweatpants.
So really great.
Okay, movie. Sorry. Benoit Blanc is again, I'm very bad at dumb things. Then we're now the flashback is to, you know, on the boat, she's seasick, she's getting drunk on the kombucha.
I didn't like that. I didn't like the drunk on the kombucha thing either. I thought that was going to play a little bit more into it.
Kombucha. Jared Leto's kombucha.
Yeah, yeah. I liked, every time she goes and gives Benoit the update, and he'd be like, you're very good at this. You know, you should take up drinking and shit like that. As most people should. Hydrogen gas, we already talked about, you know, that's the motive menagerie for Lionel and Agatha the witch. But they have a conversation about it finally, right? Thank you very much. I didn't talk about it. We talked about it out of order. It's fine. It was there. I got there, whatever.
Yeah, I was waiting for the
pancake.
The car driving.
Yeah, Anderson Cooper. I said it earlier, but, you know. Anyways, though.
Sounds like a whistle. The lady screaming sounds like a high school whistle, like a foul.
Agatha has a conversation with Andy, who, of course, is actually Helen, and Andy's drunk, but she's like, you know, why didn't you, you never even respond to the email? She's like, I don't put anything in fucking text. That's why I called you. We all came over. You never answered the door. And it goes that, you know, Duke was the first to arrive. Birdie came late. Me and Lionel showed up at the same time. And, you know, Duke almost got pancaked on his ride out of there or whatever, right? Thank you. Hilariously, Benoit and I want to say Marta, but no, Andy, go to catch up in the gym, and we get a Serena Williams cameo.
So random.
This is your time or whatever.
Fucking love the hello.
That was fun. That was funny.
Be like, yeah, it's your
share. IRL.
Great.
So good.
This is where it's, you know, he sees the fax machine, one fax machine everywhere, gets the same message. He goes over there, digs through it. Guess what? Lionel actually did rat out the fact that this is what happened. This is also where, like, we get a reveal that Duke asked Whiskey to go have sex with Miles one last time or whatever, right, so that he could get the alpha thing or whatever. This is where we get the sweatshot EP. Again, we're this is Motive Menagerie Express course. We get the sweatshop thing there, right? She'll get $30 million, Birdie, if she just does it or whatever. They make the decision, of course, that the envelope is actually here, ladies and gentlemen. It's in the building. So you, Andy, have to make a scene and then go snoop or whatever, right? And this is where we get back to her. I want the truth. And then leaving the party, she goes and flips everybody's room, eventually runs into the guy smoking weed in, like, the basement room. They've just made it look like the basement or whatever. He leaves. She gets caught flipping Whiskey in Batista's room, Batista bomb. She runs out, and the Whiskey shoots the harpoon gun that he had said at the beginning. Mom, where's my harpoon gun? I need it. Because she totally misunderstands Andy when Andy's like, he deserved it, not understanding that he's dead, but thinking that, you know, they just got to fight over breaking up or whatever. This is where we catch back up to the movie, kind of. Benoit tells her, hey, you know, this is what's going on, blah, blah, blah. She gets shot. Guess what, though? Andy's diaries. Thank you. Notes for future biographers. Save her life. This is exactly what they need, so she can snoop in the one last room. Of course, the headquarters up there of the Glass Onion, because it's already been given. Miles has already gotten it from somebody. They use the Jeremy Renner hot sauce. He rubs it on his eyes. Shitballs! Then when Every comes out, it rolls down her and up her nose. She gets to go out. She gets to go out there in the Glass Onion. She finds the card behind this. All right. Then we get to the reveal down there where Benoit Blanc is laying it all out. He says, you know, this is a dumb game. And then he starts bringing up all the stupid things Miles has said and done, the wrong words at the wrong time, and all this. Miles so Braun is rewarding. An idiot. Yeah, it's, you know what I mean? He's not smart at all, right? And then
it's
Duke.
So smart, it's genius. Yeah. No, it's just stupid. Oh, it's so stupid, it's genius.
No, it's just stupid. It's just dumb. Then we put it all together, right? That it was Miles who was in New York, right, Whiskey? Because he had come back for your birthday. Yeah, man, here. No, he took Baby Blue over there, almost pancaked Batista there. Because, of course, he showed up, slipped sleeping pills to her, put her in the car, and killed her that way. They go on. It was the pineapple juice. Loaded gun in the dark. Your only original idea wasn't original. You stole that from me.
Right? I like how disappointed he is.
Yeah. Andy shows back up with the napkin. This is one thing you can't fake because it's got Glass Onion written on it. All right. I guess that's what it is. But, of course, holding it up, Miles burns it. Did anyone actually see it? He's right. You know what I mean? No one sees it. No one steps up. You'll lie for a lie, but you won't lie for the truth, is what Andy tells them, which is very maddening, of course. But these are all terrible people. Would not expect no less. Blanc makes good on his word, of course. This is as far as my jurisdiction goes. I can only help you solve the case. I'm part of the system and the cops and the courts or whatever. But he gives her liquid courage and then also gives her, of course, the clear. This is where she just goes off and smashes everything, and it's a long scene of smashing stuff that I fast-forwarded the second time. I'm like, I don't need to see all this again. Smashes it up real good, though. Starts a fire, right? Disruption.
I don't really know why they start and why everyone does it. Seems kind of weird.
Fuck this guy.
It's the normal thing where these guys realize they're trapped by it, yeah. But they're not happy about it, but they're all bootlickers, you know what I mean? Andy? You ever have that?
Pile of
you
shit.
Ever have
shit pile.
I was gonna turn around on us. That I was a bad guy. Yeah, but yeah.
Like my boots.
Then it is like, okay, cool. She finally reveals that she has it, right? And so she, you know, she takes the clear and runs over there. She throws the clear. It explodes. Fireball. Everything's on fire. And then runs over to hit the emergency switch. She does in a very slow motion dumb scene, I think, where, you know, the Hulk runs at her and can't get her and he falls down and then she hits the fucking thing and then Mona Lisa burns and he has a really good, like, slow-mo, no, whatever, scream about it.
Love the shots of the Mona Lisa and them talking about, like, the paint marks and stuff and, like, how it looks and, like, seeing it burn slowly. It's like, this fucking tight.
Yeah, that was cool. So then it's outside. Everybody survives. Everybody's just got a little bit of dirt on them. A little
with the accompanying song as well.
And he's like,
great.
Yeah, it's a really good song. I'm going to get out of this, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, Fuel of the Future, just barbecue the world's most famous painting. You know, the gang all turns on him. I saw it. And they're like, you know.
Yeah. I also saw him take the gun.
Exactly. I saw him driving away from Andy's house or stuff like that.
Right.
Helen goes down to be with Benoit. And you get the son of a bitch. And she did. And then she poses just like the Mona Lisa. And the movie ends.
You got your wish to be remembered in the same breath as the Mona Lisa.
Bah, bah, bah.
All right, everybody. Now it's time for a thing I like to call Ragu Bagu.
Oh, man.
Ragu.
Him.
My dog is the host of Ragu. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rag Guys Talk Bad Guys, the podcast within a podcast where we rank all the villains of the Knives Out universe. I'm one of your hosts, Greg, alongside Nick, Joey, Andy, and Tim. Gentlemen and lady, where do we want to rank the two people here? We have Ransom and we have Miles, the bad guys of this universe.
I love both for different reasons.
Same.
I feel like Miles is just, you know, like just such a great bad guy. We love to hate him from the beginning. We hate him at the end.
He's an idiot.
So many funny jokes, like so many things that like add up, and I appreciate it. But there's something about Chris Evans, the surprise of it, the like smarminess of him and all of it that I think there's something I appreciate about Ransom. That I'd give him the edge.
I like Ransom by a country mile. I think Ransom's better than Miles. I think, again, it's, you know, they're both great and there's arguments for whatever. Ransom I like because of the performance and I like the eat shit and I like, you know, him thinking, being behind the game, making himself ahead of the game, realizing he's behind the game, going back and forth and doing all this stuff and I don't think ever just stumbling into it. Whereas I think Miles obviously stumbles into so much of it, right?
Having Marta eat all the food and be like, by the way, you just ate a whole lot of shit. Time to ask you some questions. Yeah. I enjoy the,
I got a friend who'll sit
the
in this
cleverness thing. There.
Sinister. Yeah. Like he's a villain in a way that like Miles thinks he's the good guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's formidable. Right. And that's what you want when you have a character like Benoit Blanc. You want a formidable enemy. You want a Moriarty. You want like one of those, you know, a classic smarter than Sherlock Holmes villains. And that's Ransom is that when you start thinking about how fast he had to think on his feet to make all that come together and almost won, you're like, oh, that's actually pretty cool. Like, that's kind of terrifying that he was able to do that. Whereas Miles is just like using words wrong and has a lot of money. It's just a con artist, which is interesting. And Edward Norton does as much as he possibly can with it. It's just not as formidable.
He was the Hulk.
Yeah. I think Miles is funnier to like laugh at, but I think Ransom is like a better
bad guy
character.
All right. Sounds like we have it then.
There we go. Ransom, number one. Ransom. Number two, Miles. Now it's time to rank the Knives Out cinematic universe, I guess so. So we have Knives Out and we have Glass Onion. I feel like I might be the only person that would put Glass Onion over Knives Out, but it is so close. I love both these movies. Can't wait to get more in the future. We only have one more confirmed, but I hope that it is.
John Hamm in one.
John Hamm in one, you know? I'm down for that. But I appreciate how different this one is than the first one, and I hope that the third one is equally different. You bring up the Dark Pictures anthology. Like, I like that idea of, like, we know what we're going to get, but it's going to have some twist. I just hope that the quality maintains this good and sure. Not Dark Pictures.
Well, now, come on now. Dark Pictures has gone up for the most part. And there's a lot of stuff with Devil in Me. We haven't talked about it yet, but I know. I mean, let's put that aside for a second. The first three went up.
Yeah.
I'm putting this on the for right now. Ryan Johnson, you're watching this. Mm-hmm. Welcome back, by the way.
Welcome back.
Sorry about all the shit talk.
Yeah. John Hamm, Lupita Nyong'o, Vanessa Kirby. Okay. Put them on the list. Three right there. Great actor. Thank you.
I want Parker. Who's Vanessa Posey? Kirby?
From The Crown and from like Hobbs and Shaw.
Also, Mission Impossible.
Impossible Fallout. Man,
those are just... How about you watch some fucking movies for a change? Jesus.
How about you clean up all the poop in your room?
Anybody
piling up?
Anybody put Glass Onion over one, or is it unanimous?
Negative.
Negatory, good buddy.
There we go. Number one is Glass, is Knives Out. Number two is Glass Onion. We will return next week with MCU in review, rewatching Ant-Man 1, and the next week Ant-Man 2, and the next week Ant-Man 3, and somewhere in there, Magic Mike and his last dance.
Baby. Have fun with that, yeah.
It's going to be so much fun. You're part of that.
What?
Aren't you?
No. I think,
yeah.
You don't want to dance?
One last time?
It's not one.
Let us know
last
in the comments
time.
Below.
There's
everybody.
No way we're going to go fourth one.
I don't know what. Just let us know something. Until next know. Time, Greg Wildblank, thank you so much for your
my pleasure.